about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
And now for the thrill you've all been waiting for. Here is one of the most phenomenal acts in the history of show business.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey is.
He ripped your face off.
My taste buds is going wild.
The entire office has come down with a pernicious case of the Mondays.
Wow. What do you put our chances at?
0%.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Okay. Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
Damn it. I have got a serious case of the Mondays.
Guys are douchebags and I hate them all. They don't know how to deal with women, and I feel that's why the lesbian rate is going up in this country.
And now, women getting overly emotional about stuff that doesn't matter? Color me shocked.
Our feature presentation.
Tosh has been on fire this season, by the
he
way.
He really has. Tosh. He's found his voice, hasn't he?
He's the best. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new show. It's a Monday morning.
And we have room for your telephone calls. Boy, do we have room for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to give us a call right now, get on the air. Of course, Mondays we debut a new prize. If you're a skateboarding fan, you will in particular be pleased with today's prize. So maybe that'll give you some incentive to think of something to say and give us a call for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hey, big show today. A lot of stuff going on, including lots of coverage of last night's Emmy Awards. But first, let's get started with a little death, shall we?
Sure.
Yay.
Yay, death.
I had asked Mike for the intro to be ready to go there, so I thought I'd go here.
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
was that crazy for me to expect maybe that might be ready to go, Mike? Or what do you think?
Yes, it was.
You know, that jingle almost makes me love death.
You know, it is a pretty good jingle, isn't it?
It's peppy. It's awfully peppy.
I'm not usually a fan of death, but
yeah,
it's a pretty good jingle.
You kind of come down on the side of death, don't you?
Yeah, I love this story so much, and I guarantee we have not heard the end of this story. But here's a woman who lived in Las Vegas, was last seen 4 months ago, went missing back in April. Her husband says she was in the living room. He went to take a nap. When he got up, she was gone. 4 months she's been gone. They did the everything they do when there's a missing person. They did the exhaustive search all around the desert. They brought in dogs to the home, which is going to be really a remarkable facet of the story when you find out where she ended up being found.
Oof.
And they never heard from her again. There was no record of her, you know, using credit cards. There's nobody ever talked to her. Nobody ever saw her. The trail went cold. She was gone 4 months later.
Right.
Until this weekend when her husband found her in the house.
What?
Dead under a bunch of stuff because she was a hoarder.
She was a hoarder.
And the house was floor to ceiling with junk. She would go out every single day and go to garage sales and thrift stores and bring back bags and bags and buckets and carloads of stuff and stack it up in the house.
But if her house was like that, how did they not empty it looking for her?
They didn't expect she was in the house.
How did they not smell her?
That's the big question. They claim, Las Vegas police says, they brought in dogs to look for her. Now, at some point when you bring in dogs, no matter how, I mean, if you bring in dogs within the first 2 months, you would imagine that they would find a corpse, right?
Yeah, you would certainly think so. But do you think maybe it smelled bad enough the dog said, oh, hell no, and turned around and ran?
I don't know that the dogs do that.
Oh. Well, I was going to say the only reason I suspect Kevin might be right is I watched that hoarder show, and there's a couple episodes where they, to even go through the house, have to wear, like, gas masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, I mean, man. Some of these houses maybe smell that bad.
But, okay, so she's the hoarder, but the husband's living there.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't start to de-hoard the house?
Apparently not.
After she's gone?
Do you de-hoard it?
I don't know.
Apparently maybe he not. Was a hoarder, too.
Listen to how delicately the police tried to describe the scene, by the way. The police had come to her house several times with dogs, never found anything. The spokesperson for the Las Vegas Police Department said, quote, "For our dogs to go through the house and not find something should be indicative of the tremendous environmental challenges they faced."
environmental challenges.
I just picture her like melting into material of some sort. Yeah. You know,
but
dissolving but for the dog, into newspapers.
But for the dogs to miss it, it means it had to be mixed with a lot of other really strong smells.
Whatever else was in there was worse.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out too. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to find enough details about. I mean, the description that I gave you about you know, thrift stores and garage sales is what's in all the articles about this.
Right.
But those aren't the types of things that would
no.
conflict with the smell of a rotting corpse, right?
No.
Well, if you're a hoarder, you're probably not picking up the kitchen so much.
Well, maybe that's true,
too. I mean,
you're
probably not cleaning up anything.
So I don't know whether...
kind of like Chinese hoarders... food and pizza from 2 months ago?
I imagine.
It's very possible. Extreme Hoarder's Death Trap, though, would be an awesome new series, wouldn't it? But anyway, so that's the tragic story of Billie Jean James, Las Vegas, Nevada, who, by the way, is not only not my lover, but she's also dead.
Wow.
This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Makes it seem like Sesame Street, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. Something you saw on TV, something in the news, something you think we missed. Give us a call, and we will put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
September 11th, which is fast approaching, is not only the date that Michael Clark Duncan takes Kevin's head off in their boxing match, but it's also an event at the Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario, California, called Street League. Have you heard about this, Kevin? Street League,
yeah.
Created by Rob Dyrdek?
Oh, yeah.
He is bringing the 24 best skateboarders in the world together to compete for the most prize money in skateboarding history. Ryan Sheckler is going to be there. P-Rod is going to be there. Chris Cole. And then there's going to be a signing after the event from Rob Dyrdek himself. If you want to get more information, you can go to streetleague.com. Or you can win those tickets at 1-800-520-1067, as Aaron on line one has done for being our first new caller of the week.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, I was seeing if you guys saw that the James Toney fight where he got choked out by Randy Couture.
I did.
Yeah, he came in horrible shape.
He had... James Lights Out Tony is a boxer, and he's been maybe one of the best boxers the last 10 years. He had a rack, though. I mean, that guy had moobs, man boobs. I mean, really, he was looking good. And boxers really don't do well in the MMA world, because there's about three or four disciplines that you need to know, and he knows one.
Right.
And Randy Couture just basically took him to the ground, choked him out.
It doesn't sound like he, I mean, I don't know how much Lights Out trained, but he had to know going in that he was going to be facing some things he hadn't seen before. And you'd think he would have at least basic preparation to deal with those.
He had a crash course, right?
He did. And I'm telling you, I mean, there's, it would take years of consistent training to be able to defend the takedowns of a guy like Randy Couture.
Right.
I mean, there's guys that are experienced MMA fighters that have no ability with takedown defense against a guy like that. He is so good at understanding the leverage and the physics of taking you to the ground and then dominating you once he's down.
But he was like 40 pounds bigger than Couture, and Couture just took him to the ground and just started choking him. I think it was over like in 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I was expecting maybe to get a fight with a lesser opponent than, you know, to jump in there at Randy Couture.
You know what happened, though? I think it was, from what I understood, Tony was calling out Dana White a lot, like calling him names and calling him, he was scared and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like mouthing off. So I think Dana White went, all right, here's Randy Couture. Good luck.
And I think Ralph brought up a good point on Friday. I was asking him what he thinks about the fight. He's like, look, it's going to end in the first round regardless. Either James Toney's going to catch him with a punch,
right,
and that's end of fight, or inevitably Couture gets him to the ground, and that's end of fight within moments.
Yeah. And so he could have finished it had he gotten a punch off, but he didn't throw one punch.
Yeah, he didn't have a chance.
Literally. Wow. So, and I know Randy knew that, but, you know, going in.
Aaron, what did you think of the BJ Penn fight?
You know what? It seemed BJ Penn, he came in there, it seemed he was kind of out of it. Like, I was watching
That's what I thought. He could have cared less.
Yeah, he's usually a little more hyped up, and like in the locker room, he was just kind of took like a so-so attitude. And
I
even when he was in the ring, he just he didn't seem like he cared too much.
I agree with Aaron. That was noticeable. It was a different BJ Penn than we ever saw. Like you said, usually he comes into the fight as this really live wire kind of bug-eyed type of dude.
This is a guy, for those of you who don't know, named the Prodigy, who is supposedly the best lightweight. Is lightweight?
Yeah.
Ever.
Yes.
And he's also, the thing about BJ is that he's kind of crazy in that he's actually fought as a heavyweight at times. I mean, he fought Lyoto Machida at heavyweight. He's crazy. He'll take any fight. He's one of these guys that just loves to mix it up. But he came in very subdued, and I think that maybe that was a contrived error, because the last time he fought Frankie Edgar, he said he wasn't prepared, he wasn't focused.
Right.
Like, maybe he was trying to get some type of zen going or anything, but it didn't work.
And I mean, everybody said, oh, this time this is going to be different. And right. It seems to me like Edgar fights him 10 times, he wins 10 times, which is really weird.
Wow.
But, yeah, he didn't seem to care. I probably could have taken him. All right. Let's go to Adam. Hi, Adam. What'd it do?
What to do? What you guys up to this morning?
Oh, you know, hanging out.
That's never going to catch on, by the way. What you guys up to this morning is not going to fly.
I was going to ask you guys, what do you guys think about Manny Ramirez going to Chicago White Sox?
Well, that had been rumored all last week. I did not realize, because I don't watch baseball, that he had such a great last game with the Dodgers. Getting thrown out after one pitch.
I think how we feel about it is going to depend on how he does as the Chicago White Sox. If he goes and is great, we're going to miss him. If he goes and continues to struggle, we're going to be like, well, we had to pull the plug at some point. Although, aren't the Dodgers on the hook, Mike, for $4 million for the last month of the season? They got to pay.
Exactly. So, I mean, Chicago just picks up the remainder of that money, and it's no harm, no foul. They're essentially turning their back on Manny. But as far as Chicago goes, let's remember this is exactly what happened with Boston 2.5 seasons ago. He was, you know, throwing fits. He ended on bad terms with them, and he came to the Dodgers and essentially carried them on his back.
Yeah, he's good at the beginning. When he joins a team, he usually steps up, and then things go sour quickly. But
hopefully he doesn't end up doing something, you know, real good out there, so we won't be like, what the hell did we just do?
Well, but see, the problem again is that he's not going to do that for your team.
Right.
So you go, well, you know, I guess it's, we got to let him go.
He's got a limited shelf life. That's what we've learned about Manny.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
He's definitely crazy.
He's crazy.
Thanks for the call, dude.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
Thanks, good buddy. I'll keep my ears on.
We have Petros Papadakis in the studio today. Speaking of sports, we have a major announcement for you coming up.
Mm-hmm. Major announcement's going to be here? I love that dude.
I do, too.
Why I oughta. Do-it-yourself healthcare today.
This is the best topic.
You take these calls every once in a while. People who just go, you know what? I'm not going to go to the hospital. I think I can fix this myself.
I don't need a dentist.
Right. I've got pliers. So we're going to take those calls today. We have highlights of the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
If you could call it that.
Yeah.
Bean brought those in.
I think they're widely known as the Emmys. I don't think that's
true. I'm saying highlights. I'm saying
that.
I was bored quickly.
Oh, there were plenty of highlights.
Yeah.
It's just that it's such a long show that you have to wait sometimes far and few between because the show's so long. But there were plenty of highlights.
45 minutes in between stuff. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't tease that All right, listen, it's going to be a great show. Don't worry about it. Spencer Pratt, maybe, with a little audio of a sex tape, perhaps, coming up.
Wow.
So,
that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph Garman joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for the week, and I imagine a little Emmy talk as well.
Sure, why not? But since it is Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office, shall we? It was neck and neck all weekend long between The Last Exorcism and Takers. It looks like Exorcism just eked out a win with $21.3 million counted so far, making it number one this weekend. Takers, in its debut, made $21 million, making it a close number two. Then The Expendables, still up there. Eat, Pray, Love was fourth. The Other Guys came in at number five. Then Vampires Suck, Inception, Nanny McPhee Returns, The Switch, and Piranha 3D, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations, by the way, to Toy Story 3, which became Disney's second film to gross more than $1 billion worldwide over the weekend.
Wow.
The other one was Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. So Disney pretty happy that Toy Story.
It's a pretty small list of movies that have made $1 billion.
$1 billion movie. Not too shabby. Last night was the Emmy Awards, and in case you missed it, here is a recap of the big awards. Best Drama Series went to Mad Men yet again, and if you watched the episode last night,
you can see why. Just gets better and better. Well, Kevin knows. Kevin's
an outrage.
Biggest Madman fan ever. It's an outrage yeah. for the show you've never seen. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Best comedy series, Happy Surprise, Modern Family won for best comedy series. Well-deserved accolade. Best miniseries was The Pacific. Best actor in a comedy series was Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory. Best actor in a drama, Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad. Also, his co-star, Aaron Paul, won for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. Best actor in a miniseries or movie, my old buddy Al Pacino got up on stage and wandered around for a while.
He's not, like he does. He's not good like that, is he?
He is. The thing is, he is an enormously shy person.
Yeah.
And I get the sense he is not the least bit comfortable extemporaneously speaking on stage.
You can't tell, I'll tell you that.
And
he hides it.
He does flounder a bit up there. It's kind of sad to see.
But he's like this at every award show. Why doesn't he have people that come to him and go, Al, go ahead and take an index card with you and just read it when you get up there?
I don't think Al's that kind of guy to prepare a speech just in case he wins.
But he's bad when he does that.
Yeah. Doesn't make him a bad actor. I mean,
no,
the award
not.
Is for acting, not for speech giving. So
but
he
then
probably
you give
won't
a
make a
speech
giving award.
That's true.
Edie Falco won for best actress in a comedy series. Boy, is that a wrong-headed.
I love her, and she deserves an Emmy.
Cast member in a category.
It is an odd category.
Yeah,
I felt
bad for the other actresses because there are some laughs in it.
Yeah.
It's dark humor.
They don't have a dramedy category. That's the problem.
Yeah, they do need that.
What else have we got? Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, Eric Stone Street for Modern Family. And that's Best Actress in a Comedy. Supporting Actress in a Comedy is Jane Lynch for Glee, which is well-deserved. And Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Archie Punjabi for The Good Wife. And that's the only award I really had any problem with.
Yeah.
She's fine on that show. Don't get me wrong. She's fine. But the other actresses, I thought,
a lot of,
got ripped off.
A lot of first-time Emmy winners this time, which was nice. You know, for years, it seemed like the same faces were up every single year. And, of course, there were some repeats. Like you mentioned, Bryan Cranston, but a lot of young faces winning Emmys, which I thought was great.
I was pulling for Tony Shalhoub again.
Oh,
I wanted to see that, get him that 47th Emmy.
He was ripped off.
I was going to burn that place down if that happened.
Were you?
Yep.
Were you there?
No.
Oh.
I would have gone there, though.
But I probably heard that Paris Hilton got popped over the weekend for cocaine possession in Las Vegas, Nevada. She was with her boyfriend, Cy Waits. driving the vehicle they were in, a Cadillac Escalade. He got popped for DUI charges. Apparently a motorcycle cop smelled pot smoke coming out of the Escalade and stopped the vehicle for a search. Found him to be loaded and her with a little bag of nose candy in her purse. My favorite response is from her lawyer. This matter will be dealt with in the courts, not in the media. And I encourage people not to rush to judgment until all the facts have been dealt with in a court of law. The blow was in her purse. That's all you need to know.
Maybe he put it there and she didn't know.
Don't rush to judgment.
You know?
Don't rush to judgment. Maybe it came with the Escalade. Maybe the rental service gave it to her with the keys. You don't know. Maybe they told her it was some sort of talcum that she needed to pat her hands down with before she drove the car because the steering wheel was sticky.
I'm sure that's it.
You don't know. Don't rush. Don't rush to judgment.
Here's the thing. I'm not a judge or jury. I can rush.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I'm allowed.
And bad news for Bean.
Uh-oh.
Looks like Zac Efron's ready to pop the question to Vanessa Hudgens.
Please.
Yeah, apparently Zac was seen shopping at Tiffany's in New York City, buying a ring just days before taking Vanessa on a Hawaiian vacation. So we may hear some happy news from the loving couple sometime soon.
If she marries him and now he's unavailable, I'm going to cut a bitch.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Did anyone besides me notice that Temple Grandin, the autistic veterinary doctor who was the focus of that HBO movie that won so many awards last night.
Well, yeah, I didn't see or hear about that even.
You didn't?
Yeah.
I missed it, but apparently I know when it was on. It was getting an enormous amount of critical acclaim and some good ratings, too. But I said, look at that. A scraggly-haired lesbian with autism wearing a cowboy shirt.
Wearing a cowboy...
It's Bean!
Is Bean.
It's Bean. Shit, Temple Grandin is Bean. I was looking at the audience. I said, is that Bean waving to the crowd? I said, no, that's Temple Grandin. Separated at birth. That's all I'm saying.
Honestly,
twin.
Their all I'm faces
saying. I'm telling you.
Very
that is
similar.
Bean.
Scraggly, long, grayish hair with
jaw.
A cowboy shirt and all autismed out, waving to everybody.
But she seemed personable. That's where
did you see her come on stage?
She was on the stage. I heard her say, "What's up, Holmes?"
I said, "It's separated at birth."
What's up, Holmes?
Did you see her almost choke out the poor woman who was trying to give the speech to the producer of that show? What it was?
She was overcome with.
She was hugging her.
Oh, that was funny.
A bear hug. She wouldn't let go.
Yeah. She was autistic strong at that moment. That's why she had that sort of emotion behind her. I was like, "That is Bean." Why do they all like the cowboy shirts? Why do all those autism people dig
those
shirts?
That's a great question.
Now we know why Bean wears that shirt. Maybe she got it at the Cracker Barrel. Today's celebrity birthdays.
It would be awesome if that was actually his twin. Chief, is there something you didn't tell me?
You'd be hard-pressed. I've never seen him in the same room together. Have you?
No.
Comedian Louis Black celebrates his 62nd birthday today. Happy birthday, Lou. Actor Michael Chiklis is 47 years old. Got that new series coming on with Julie Benz.
Can't tell about that one. That looks good, right?
I think it looks fun.
I think so.
Yeah. Or as Michael C. Hall calls him, Michael C. Hickless. That's what Michael Hall, the joke he made. So now Julie Benz has worked with Michael C. Hickless instead of me. DJ Paul Oakenfold is 47 years old today. Guitarist Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 39. Cameron Diaz celebrates her 38th birthday. And TV personality Lisa Ling celebrates her 37th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of highlights from last night's Emmy Awards, including host Jimmy Fallon, who, by the way, I thought did a tremendous job. I've always been a fan of Jimmy Fallon's, but I thought he really did a great job last night. What'd you think, Kevin? I know you watched some of the show.
I thought there were some real highlights. I thought the opening segment was great.
I did, too. Mm-hmm. The Glee.
And then there were some really horrible ones.
Okay.
Like, super high and super low. Like, when he said, here's some presenters that suck, the cast of True Blood.
Yeah, people can't, avoid those vampire jokes, can they? They just can't do it.
That wasn't funny.
No, it wasn't at all. We'll have highlights for you coming up here in just a few minutes on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, our old friend Petrus Papageth will be here next hour, too. And a major announcement. Are we even allowed to say what kind of announcement it is?
I think
are we allowed to say nothing?
Major. It's major. We can say that.
Can we say it involves a very popular rock and roll band?
Huh?
Can we say that?
Yes. We can say that.
It involves a very popular rock and roll band.
Right.
Okay. That's the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
This one comes to us from upstate New York, someplace named Hopewell Junction. And it is the best story I've ever seen.
Wow.
They have a DUI checkpoint.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever gone through one of those, but they stop every single car. It's not like they're just waiting for you to show some behavior that you're drunk. They stop every single car. They talk to you, and then they either let you go or pull you over if they, you know, think that they suspect anything. So there's a DUI checkpoint. There's two 18-year-olds with two 15-year-old girls in a car. And they see a bunch of marijuana paraphernalia. So they say, hey, how about you four pull over to the side?
Mm-hmm.
And they check them out, and they call all of their parents to come get them.
Okay.
So the mom, and by the way, at this point, if you're a 15-year-old girl, and you're in that car, and you have weed, and your mom's called, and she's coming down to the DUI checkpoint, that's a bummer, right? I mean, you're like, oh
you're
man.
So much, you're grounded for life.
This Absolutely. Is not good. So mom shows up, and she asks the police, oh, I wish that would work. That would be much better.
What did you do?
Yeah. She was drunk.
Oh.
You're kidding.
Where's my daughter? So the police said, why don't you pull over here?
She drove, of course.
Yes, she drove down to pick up her daughter.
Drunk.
I wonder if her defense is, hey, I was drinking because I didn't think I was going to leave the house. The police are the ones who made me get in the car and drive down here.
I don't think that's a defense.
Okay.
I mean, don't you take a cab or have someone else drive or something?
Yeah.
So now mom shows up, and mom's drunk, and she gets pulled over. So then they send the 15-year-old home with someone else, one of the other parents. 2 hours later, completely unrelated, the dad drives through the DUI checkpoint, and he's drunk.
Yay! What is going on with this family?
The whole family got caught at the DUI checkpoint. 15-year-old daughter, 46-year-old mom, 45-year-old dad.
Well, that daughter,
she's got to get out of jail.
Family. Yeah.
Pass for life, though. She was in so much trouble until her mom said,
what did you do?
And then her dad said,
what did you do?
And then she was fine.
Somebody check on the dog, please.
Now she's all good.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's
Citizen of the Day.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. The awards season is up and running as of last night. That was the first of the big awards. Now it's nothing but awards for the next 5 months. Last night was the Emmys. My complaints about the Emmys are the same every year, and I know they're probably not going to do anything about it, but I think they need to move more of those awards to the weekend before when they do the Creative Arts Emmys.
I'd go so far as to say most.
That's where you want to see the directors, and I know you can't make good TV without directors. I get that, especially, you know, people listening in this town. I appreciate the work that you do, but not interested in seeing you on my television. I'm sorry. A lot of those movies and miniseries for television.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't that seem like that really dragged the show down?
Well, there were 7,000 miniseries awards.
Yeah, and it was the same ones over and over for various categories.
And I thought there were a lot of highlights. My biggest disappointment in terms of who won is I so desperately wanted Conan O'Brien to win because how great would it have been for him to be back in front of a live microphone on NBC winning an Emmy for a TV show that they canceled after 7 months when he hosted The Tonight Show.
He was up for an Emmy for The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome.
And one of the very funniest lines that Jimmy Fallon had very early in the show, and he was doing a lot of singing with his guitar last night, is he had a Conan joke.
I'm unclear on that.
You couldn't tell from watching the show last night, could you? Yeah. He had a Conan joke that just killed.
Hi, I'm your host, Jimmy Fallon, from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. NBC asking the host of Late Night to come to Los Angeles to host a different show. What could possibly go wrong?
And the camera cuts to Conan O'Brien, and he's sitting there in his seat, and Jimmy's too soon. Then Jimmy steps up to Amy Poehler, who, by the way, wins Best Breast Award for the night. You know, she's got a newborn at home, and man, were the girls on display. And she was right there in the front row last night, which was great.
Now, as you know, here on the Emmys, the show is broken down into five parts: comedy, reality, drama, variety, and miniseries and movies. Hi-ya! And here to help me introduce the first one is my friend, Amy Poehler.
This first category is comedy.
You're doing great so far.
I've been drinking since 3.
So he was singing along with a bunch of people in the audience, which I thought was kind of a funny concept.
Mm-hmm.
They had some great taped pieces last night. Lisa May mentioned earlier the Born to Run Bruce Springsteen Open, which was one of the great award show openings of all time, I thought.
I thought it was good. Yeah. Awesome.
Jimmy Fallon, 4 kids from the Glee show, along with John Hamm and Tina Fey and Betty White was in it. And Kate Gosselin was in it making fun of herself. I mean, it was a really
poor
spectacular opening.
Jorge
Garcia singing and dancing to Springsteen. Very funny. The other tape piece they did that was really funny last night was they were kind of poking fun at network executives who always try to change TV shows, you know, based on market research. And they were sitting down with the cast of Modern Family. And the network executive who'd been on the job for 2 months is trying to explain, hey, let's make this show even better by bringing in characters from other shows. No one will be able to not watch a show if they got other characters. And Stewie from Family Guy makes an appearance.
So remember how excited you all were when we brought Lily home?
Yeah. Well, surprise, because we adopted another baby.
Well, I'm game, but I don't know what world you're living in that you think two gay guys can adopt a white baby.
By the way, great line. Great line.
Why can't you guys just get a normal kid?
Hey, Al Bundy, must be nice to finally be on a show that you can mention at dinner parties and not have people cringe.
I'm just going to say that everything is better with Stewie. I think Stewie should be on all shows.
I must have fallen asleep during that part. I don't even remember that.
Very funny. One of the great accepted speeches of the night last night, partly because she was just so gobsmacked that she won, was Edie Falco, who won for Best Comedy Actress for Nurse Jackie. As we were saying earlier, a lot of people don't necessarily consider that a comedy. It's much more of a drama show, but it does have some comedic elements to it. And great speech, and you could tell she was just amazed, and she had a very funny line.
Oh, this is just the most ridiculous thing that has ever, ever happened in the history of this lovely awards show. Thank you so much. I'm not funny.
I'm not funny.
All of what she said is true.
But she wins her comedy award. Will Arnett, Amy Poehler's husband, always great, got a new TV show coming up this fall that I'm looking forward to. He gets up. I thought it was a very funny bit he did with actress Keri Russell.
My favorite part of A Woman by Will Arnett. Oh, luscious mounds.
No, Will, they cut that.
Did they?
It's really dirty.
Yeah. It's really dirty.
Best line of the whole night, though, had to be the great Ricky Gervais, who kills every time he's on stage. He's going to be hosting the Golden Globes later in the awards season, but I wish I had time to play more of what he had to say, but here was, I think, the line of the night.
Mel Gibson, come on. No, come on. I'm not going to have a go at him. He's been through a lot. Not as much as the Jews.
To be
surprise, Mel has had a lot to say about the Jews.
You know, when he is on stage, you forget that you're even watching an award show.
Yeah,
you
he
just
takes
sit
over.
Back and relax, and
yep.
he goes, and he's just the best.
Yeah,
the best.
You don't get nervous watching him mm-mm. try to do comedy as you do with so many other people, where you wonder if they're going to get through the joke or if it's going to be funny. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And just by unbelievable, tremendous fortune, one of the awards that he was given away was, I think it was a reality show award. And the guy who won is the gentleman who directed the Winter Olympics opening on NBC in Vancouver.
Right.
His name was Bucky Gunts. And Ricky Gervais not say Bucky Gunts enough.
I hope it's Bucky Gunts. Because I didn't know you could say that on television. Let's face it, we're all Bucky Gunts here. And the Emmy goes to... Bucky Gunts!
And it became a recurring joke throughout the night that this poor guy's name is Bucky Gunts, which is really unfortunate, right?
What did you think about the announcer trying to do comedy?
Paul Tompkins?
I dislike that very much.
Every time somebody won or walked up to the stage, he was trying to do comedy. And most of the time, it wasn't even his fault. It was just horribly written.
And the music drowned him out as well.
Yeah,
sometimes I couldn't even hear him.
It was very tough to make it. It was the great Paul Tompkins, who's a hilarious comedian. He's a Daily Show correspondent. Yeah, I thought that was kind of hit or miss. I applaud that they were trying to do something different with it, though, was to put a little comedy in.
I do, too. And I also thought that they asked questions of the nominees. I thought that was... turned out poorly.
Sometimes it was funny.
But I like the idea that they were trying something different, but it
trying something
work.
Different, exactly.
So
you're
going to miss.
Psycho Mike, I brought in this clip just for you. I never in a million years imagined that this particular movie would get a shout out during the Emmys last night. But here's Stephen Colbert. He's up for Best Show, and he's introducing the cast that puts his show together on Comedy Central.
The essence of the Colbert Report is teamwork. It's got to be to get up 161 shows a year. And these are the people who do it. The greatest staff in the world. These people think together. They move together. They act as if they're one living creature. Or they soon will, once I make them a human centipede.
Come on!
Hold still!
He has a pair of scissors.
I thought he had like a giant knife covered with blood.
Human centipede gets a shout out on the Emmys. A couple more clips from the show last night. Going back to Jimmy Fallon, he did a segment where he did three musical tributes in a row to shows that left the air this year.
Hey, Bean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but does he sing?
He does sing. He actually does. He enjoys that. Yes, very much. The first one, it was, you know, quick change artist. He did all three back to back with completely different costumes and setups. But the first one, here's a little bit of him as Elton John saying goodbye to the TV show 24.
Goodbye, 24. I wonder what you on TV. I miss one episode. Had to buy the DVD.
Very, very funny. Then he switched clothes and he became the Boys to Men guys doing a tribute to Law and Order. And then his final one is he was Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day saying goodbye to Lost.
Another show is gone because Lost is over too. Locke was the smoke monster and Jacob was some dude. Goodbye to Kate and Sawyer, Hurley, Ben and Jack. He grew a crazy beard and said... we have to go back. The island, it was mythical, but in the end they died. I didn't understand it, but I tried.
Amen, Jimmy Fallon. Amen. Ralph will have all the winners for you from last night's Emmy Awards. Those are some highlights for you here on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward, we got Petros Papadakis coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow, Jill Wagner from Wipeout.
The best girl ever!
Will be here. Also, we'll talk to the new Miss Universe.
What?
How about
that?
That's
what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Boy, is she hot.
Yeah.
Man, is she hot. Talking about the Emmys last night, we played a bunch of highlights for you. There was one low light I forgot to mention, and that is the great Al Pacino, who is an Oscar-winning actor. He's previously won an Emmy before as well. He's one of the greatest actors in the history of acting. Am I right about that? You guys with me on Al Pacino?
Definitely.
He's amazing. Maybe perhaps should not be let loose on a stage extemporaneously, though. He doesn't exactly have his thoughts together.
And he refuses to prepare.
Yes, that's right.
So he just meanders, and he's a horrible speech giver.
He is not good.
It's not the same skill set.
even though he's Al Pacino, and there's a pretty good chance he's going to win an award if he's up for it, if it's an acting award, because he's that good. And he won last night for his portrayal of Dr. Jack Kevorkian in that HBO movie. Here's a little bit of the tape from Al Pacino last night. And at the very, very beginning, you'll hear somebody telling him to go, and that he's in the right spot, and to start talking.
I haven't even started yet, and you're laughing.
Okay. Not a good start, by the way. And maybe they're laughing at your head that looks like a peacock, because what's going on with his hair while we're on the topic of Al Pacino?
You know what I think was happening was the people who introduced him went the wrong way on the stage, and then they were correcting him and getting him to walk over. So it had nothing to do with him, I think.
Well, he's just standing there, not exactly talking into
the
microphone, right?
Not at all.
So we're already laughing. He hasn't said anything, but certainly he's going to get right to his speech.
It's really an honor.
By the way, this isn't edited for wacky, okay?
Acted.
This is right off the TV. It's as if they dragged him out of the audience and he had no idea that he was going to be asked to speak in front of this crowd.
Had the pleasure to try to portray,
that guy.
Someone as brilliant and interesting and unique as Dr. Jack Kevorkian, and to the fun I had just trying to get...
Okay. I think that's about all I got the strength for, but we do have the great Emmy-winning Al Pacino on the phone with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Al. Hello, Al.
how are you guys this morning?
We're good. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you. It was... When you're acting, you sometimes the makeup was so good.
The makeup was good.
On the film.
Right.
That I've come on now.
you did spend a lot of time thanking your makeup people and your hair people because you said they helped you get into character as Dr. Kevorkian.
That's right. And
would it kill you to prepare something?
Well, I was prepared.
You were prepared.
That was prepared?
That was the problem. I was trying to remember what I was going to say.
Some people wrote it down.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
No, not for you?
Writing. Well.
Is difficult for you?
When you put something down on paper.
Right.
You got to know where the paper is.
Right.
Oh, did you lose? You lost the notes?
Put it in a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, ooh, ah. When I go to say something, I'll go to that pocket.
But
sometimes you can forget what pocket you put it in.
What about a teleprompter?
Come on now.
What about a teleprompter? They could have probably put it on the teleprompter there, that giant TV screen.
Yeah.
You can see from stage. No.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
What's the thing?
When the teleprompter.
Yes.
Is.
Right in front of you.
Right.
In front of you.
In front of you.
Right. Right. And it has words on it.
A guy like Jack.
Kevorkian?
Nicholson.
Oh,
Nicholson.
Once told me that, ooh, I don't.
You don't remember?
I don't.
Know what he said?
I don't know.
What you're talking about?
Can't recall the conversation?
I can't.
You don't know what you're talking about?
I'm not.
Good speech giver?
Sure. Okay. Am I on the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Let me just say, the telephone.
Right. We don't have
sometimes
time.
Sometimes you want to write down what you're going to say to an wacky morning DJs.
Right.
Help.
Sketch something out.
Just so I'm going to go jot down some notes.
Well, we're almost done.
We're done, actually. We're out of time, Mr. Pacino. We got to go.
Hold on a second.
We actually have to go.
Come on now.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:53.
Linkin Park, Bush, Muse, 30 Seconds to Mars, and our old friend Major Announcement will be here, plus Petros Papadakis. That's all coming up in the next hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday. What's happening, Ralph?
It's just sweet me and P in the other room talking NFL. So close.
It's almost here,
so
man.
So close now.
It's a week from Thursday is the first game, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
It's always the week after Labor Day weekend, so.
And hockey's right behind it.
Yep.
Oh,
we can just say F baseball and move on with our lives. Start watching real sports again. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Last Exorcism just nosed out Takers for the number one slot this weekend, $21.3 million. I really tried to get to see that this weekend, but I just couldn't get there.
I saw it.
Did you? Last Exorcism?
Wonder what happened.
What?
Can't tell what happened.
Can't tell what happened.
I don't know exactly what happened. It's one of those that's super confusing, and then
it's like Blair Witch Project.
Sort
like, what the hell's going on there?
Sort of cross between, I heard.
And then at the end, when the credits pop up, you go,
Hey, could you stop that projector for a minute?
Ask a couple of questions, just to clarify.
Well, maybe if I go this weekend, I can clear some things up.
I hope so.
This week, rather. Takers was number two at the box office.
By the way, just having said that, it's really good. It's really well done.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Takers, number two. Literally and figuratively, number two at the box office, $21 million this weekend. The Expendables was third, Eat, Pray, Love. The Other Guys, Vampires Suck, Inception, Nanny McPhee Returns, The Switch, and Piranha 3D, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Emmys were last night. Bean played some clips from the show, and in case you wondered who won what, here are the big categories. Mad Men. One for Best Drama Series, Modern Family, with Best Comedy Series. Best Actor in a Drama was Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad. Can't really complain about that decision.
No.
He is so great.
Pretty brilliant on that show. I kind of was pulling from my boy John Hamm, of course.
That's a tough category.
Can't be too
almost
upset
everyone in
Bryan
that category
Cranston.
Was good.
Yeah. Jim Parsons won for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. Again, no problems there. Best Actor in a Miniseries or Movie was Al Pacino. Heard you guys talking to him earlier. Al's always entertaining.
Not a quick speaker.
Edie Falco won for Best Actress in a Comedy Series. Really? Really?
Yeah, that's not funny.
Best Actress in a Drama Series, Kira Sedgwick for The Closer. Best Actress in a Mini Series or Movie was Claire Danes for The Bean Baxter Story. You can check that out. I'm sorry, Temple Grandin, my bad. It's hard to tell the difference. Sporting Actor in a Comedy Series was Eric Stonestreet for Modern Family. Yeah, that was great.
Happy for him.
Happy for him, yes, indeed. Sporting Actor was Aaron Paul for Breaking Bad. I'll tell you, early on, I thought it was going to be a Breaking Bad sweep. I thought they were going to go all the way through and take everything.
Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
But they didn't get Best Drama.
They did not. Best Actor, Actress, rather, in a Comedy Series, Supporting Actress, was Jane Lynch for Glee. And Best Actress in a Drama Series, Archie Punjabi for The Good Wife. So, there are your big awards from last night. Don't tell me that acting is not dangerous.
Is it?
Yes.
We have stuntmen?
Joey Lawrence is in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Whoa, I'm in the hospital.
Yes, a horrible, horrible accident on the set of his new show, Melissa and Joey, which stars Melissa Joan Hart and Joey Lawrence.
It's a sitcom.
The horrible accident is that there's a show called Melissa and Joey. That's the horrible accident. No, apparently.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Joey was in a intense action sequence where he leaned over to hug Melissa Joan Hart, and she was holding her script, and it poked him in the eye and ripped his cornea.
Oh man! Wow.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's bad.
What a dork!
So he had to go to the hospital.
That's not how you want to get injured,
man. That is. Acting is hard.
Make up a story.
Acting are is you, difficult.
Are you not trying on a new show if you just name it after the two people that are in the show?
Hey, it's Melissa and Joey. Yeah. The story of two people who
doesn't
are
sound
named
like it.
Melissa and Joey.
Is that on yet, or they're just filming it?
They're filming it for this fall.
All right.
Easy, Kevin. I know you're eager, but hold on. It's not on yet, but you'll get to see it soon.
Never heard of it.
Try to show some patience.
All right. I can wait for that one.
Speaking of patience, I've been waiting forever. Tonight we'll know officially the lineup for the next season of Dancing with the Stars will be unveiled tonight during Bachelor Pad. Now, we've all heard the rumors, but there may be some new names in the mix that we haven't heard before. The Situation, of course, has been rumored to be on the show, along with Audrina Patridge, Bristol Palin, Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, of course, Jennifer Grey of Dirty Dancing, Hasselhoff, Michael Bolton, Brandy. But here's some names you may not have heard of. Margaret Cho, comedian.
Hey!
Margaret Cho?
No, is the answer to your question.
That's being generous.
She bugs.
Yeah, me too.
Seriously. Former Laker Rick Fox may be joining the cast.
So handsome.
He's a good-looking dude. Yeah. Used to have him some of that, Vanessa Williams
stuff. Yeah.
He used to have some of that. Not anymore. Also, Kurt Warner, we heard about, perhaps, Dancing with the Stars. Ali Fedorovsky. Fedotowski. She was the Bachelorette. Oh. They seem to do this now. They put the former Bachelor or Bachelorette on the show. They did it last season, too. But how about Landon Donovan? Kevin?
Oh, no.
How about your boyfriend, Landon Donovan? How would you like to see him dance with the stars? As if soccer isn't gay enough, Landon might be doing the tango soon.
Oh, no.
No.
So we'll know more tonight, but...
I wish I would have known that Saturday night. I went to the game. I would have yelled, no!
Don't do it!
Now, Kevin loves Landon Donovan so much, but does he love him enough to watch Dancing with the Stars if he's on it?
I think so.
No.
I think he does.
I'll watch him play soccer.
He'll be calling and dialing the number voting for Landon. Something else. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tennis star Andy Roddick is 28 years old today. TV hostess Lisa Ling is 37. Hey! Cameron Diaz celebrates her 38th birthday.
Wow, both.
Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 39 years old. Paul Oakenfold, legendary DJ, is 47. Michael Chiklis with his new show, No Ordinary Family. They play Family of Superheroes. So cool.
Looks good, I hope.
So cool. It's like the Incredibles. Yeah, without the really cool spandex outfits.
Right, hopefully.
He is 47 years old today, and one of our favorite comedians of all time, Louis Black, celebrates his 62nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, it just got fun in here. The P. Petros Papadakis joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's the kind of reception that I appreciate and deserve. Hey, now.
From nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show.
That's
hey,
us.
Listen, I listened to you
great
a little bit
sports
on
sports talk, Bean.
That's what you're famous for. I listened to you a little bit on Friday. You were on the mighty blowtorch of Southern California, KFI.
Yeah,
you
and, KFI you and your buddy Matt were on. More stimulating talk radio.
You guys were doing the show. But I listened for about an hour, and you must have talked about your nipple that got torn off like 40 times.
No, it was boob talk, Bean. It was a boob talk day. I only mentioned the nipple, the torn off nipple from 1998 San
Diego
State
game.
But I had
nightmares all weekend long thinking about your nipple being torn off.
You want to see it?
No.
Yeah, let me, come on. Let me whip
them out. No, we don't want to see it.
Oh, yeah. Here it comes.
Petrus, leave your shot. Oh, please
see,
don't.
See, there's
don't,
a normal nipple right there. As you can see, the right
missing.
Nipple the right
oh,
nipple
yeah.
is pointy.
Yeah.
And it's almost saying like, hey, what's cracking?
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's pointing at you. It's
right.
pointing at you. It's beckoning you toward my chest.
Not at all.
And then this other one
is saying
has been removed.
How come I've been?
Yeah, this
like
one has been
no
ripped
eye.
Off, sliced off by an errant shoulder pad in 1998 against San Diego State in a September game where a guy who's... I think the acronym for his name or was KGB, Kabir Jabba'a Biamila. Remember
See?
That guy?
He Communist.
Played? Yeah, he came flying off the edge and just took my nipple, and he was an African guy. So, like, after he did it, he was like, I took your nipple. No, I'm just kidding.
And, but he don't put something like that back on.
Yeah.
But he didn't put that back on.
Look at him, my nipple is gone.
You didn't pick it up and put it in
You know what? I didn't even know.
Put it in your pocket?
After the game. And the reason we were talking nipples is because Matt and I were doing the story about the boob in
down
at the Cost Plus in Orange County with the breastfeeding and the whatnot. So, anyway, that's why we got into it, Bean. It was totally topical. It's not like I went on KFI and was just like, hey, I want to talk about my nipples all day.
But
you know?
All I'm saying is I hurt all weekend long.
Well, I was in the shower, and when I took off my stuff and I got in the shower, I realized, you know, I saw this, you know, almost like I was in the shower with Bill Compton from True Blood. You know, there was a little, a small, thin stream of blood and the tap water, you know, running from my nipple. I said, well, look, my nipple's been removed. And, you know, we just kind of moved on with the season from there.
That was it. You didn't think that,
there's nothing else to do. What can you do?
Did you
that
taste
point?
Your own blood?
Well,
it's not Bill Compton. That's what I'm saying.
Do you like that show?
Yes, I love that
I
show.
I like it too, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it
Who
gets
knew
to
he
be
was British?
He's a Brit?
Yeah, I didn't know that until last
night. I thought he was
Emmys.
Like a Civil War guy.
I don't know. He was...
I thought he was a Southern gent.
No, for reals.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah.
He's British.
Who knows?
I was surprised.
He's sucking on the gap between Anna Paquin's teeth. That's what he's doing. That's what his race is.
All right. Well, listen, Pete. We only have you for a short time here today because we have a very busy show. We have a major announcement on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in about 10 minutes.
But I drove up here.
I know you did. While we have you here, we have to ask. And this is a fascinating story, even if you're nowhere near the Los Angeles Dodgers. Because the greatest divorce in the history, not only of sports, but of America, is getting ready to begin. Today is the day. How crazy is this McCourt thing? Tell people about it.
They are liars. They are liars to the people about the Dodgers.
When did they buy the Dodgers?
Are an embarrassment. Earlier this decade. They're the biggest embarrassment.
Like 4 or 5 years ago?
I think more like 6 or 7 years ago. And it's been an embarrassment. It's been an embarrassment since day
one.
From
the beginning?
And
why?
He made her the president, right?
Were people that were leveraged up the ass to buy the Dodgers that wanted to drop Fox, who owned the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, and Bud Selig, who looks like an idiot in this situation now, because he forced these people kind of on us, and they forced themselves on us. They were never quite ready to own a team. They don't know what it takes to own a team. They don't know the measure of class that you have to have. Look, we're not talking about the Milwaukee Brewers here. We're talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're the Lakers. They are the
Yankees.
They're
it's the
Yankees.
Same,
they're the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
This is one of the most storied franchises in all of sports. And you come here and you have this wife and you say, oh, my wife, and look at her. She's great. She's the highest ranking executive in baseball. She's smart. She's
beautiful.
She made her
the president of the team?
They talked her up. They geeked her up. They said, and you know, we had Jim Tracy, the old manager of the Dodgers, on the show the other day, and they inherited him as a manager. And I said, excuse me.
Yeah, all right.
That's nice.
It's a football season. Excuse me, everybody. But they went and talked and said, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. And you asked Jim Tracy, I said, well, who owned the Dodgers? Was it just Frank McCourt when you were managing? Was that your perception? Or was it Frank and Jamie McCourt? And he said, well, it was Frank and Jamie McCourt. And now Frank McCourt is trying to back up off of it and sit his cup down and say, no, it was always just me. Jamie was just there along for the ride. You know, and it's like, no. She was here the whole time. You guys are both idiots. You can't handle your business. You're going to drag this thing. The owners of the Dodgers, guys, are going to court today.
Yeah.
Hot stove divorce court league. It is going to be an embarrassment.
Yeah.
These people are delusional. You know, rich people are wacky anyway.
Yeah.
You know, some of them take helicopters around and act cool to hockey games. but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to learn things about these people that are asinine. We're going to learn things about these people that make them look completely delusional. And hopefully, eventually, they're gonna have to sell the team. What's poppin', Bean?
I just wanted to pop in there for folks who may not have understood the point of all of that about who owns the team is because now that they're getting a divorce, it's community property in the state of California, and somebody's going to have to decide whether it's going to be divvied up or more likely, as you're saying, that they're just going to sell it and split the profits.
It's gotten so ugly because I guess there's a document that says Jamie doesn't own the team, Frank owns the team. But Jamie's lawyers are saying, well, we never signed, or she never signed a document like this. This is a doctor document with some Microsoft Word that they're tracking, you know, like G.I. Jane or something like that. That, you know, you've put this in and you can see with the smudge from this typewriter and this printer, you know, and then they're saying, you put this in, this is doctored, and you're a loser. No, you're a loser. No, you make me sick, you know.
But wouldn't it be good for the Dodgers if they were forced to sell?
Yes. Well, it would
is
be
that
good.
Gonna happen?
It would be good for us. That's the thing. You know, we're Dodger fans. We live in this city. We grew up going to those games. We want to have ownership that's classy and stays out of the way. Do you ever remember the O'Malley family ever doing anything to embarrass anybody ever? No.
No. And didn't they announce they were getting divorced just before the playoffs last year or something?
It leaked during the NLCS, and I don't think it's a real distraction to the players, but it's obvious that they're not spending money. It's obvious that their hands are tied. The payroll, active payroll, is lower than what the Minnesota Twins would be, and the bottom line is, and I'm not one of these people, I never go after ownership. I'm not one of the, when you guys do the Donald Sterling stuff.
Yeah, he's
the
worst owner in
sports. You know, it doesn't do much for me. I've never been that way. But this is ridiculous. This is
sad. They're slapping you in the face with it.
We deserve better.
I agree.
In our city, the LA Dodgers, we deserve better. This ain't the Jacksonville Jaguars. Come on. We deserve better.
Every city deserves better than that.
They are liars to the people.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead, Pete.
Did they have people on staff that they were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to do things like cut their hair and send good vibes to
worse.
The team?
I mean, and we're going to learn more about this.
Oh,
yeah,
I can't
good.
Wait.
They have a Russian spoon bending commie on the East Coast, sending good vibes in his mind to the
they
team
pay?
for six figures. They have a home
for dirty
don't, laundry.
Don't run past that. We'll get to the home for dirty laundry.
Oh, what?
They have a guy that they pay six figures.
They did,
over $100,000.
Yeah.
To
like Boris Pasternak or something. The guy that wrote Dr. Zhivago.
To think positive thoughts about the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are good.
Now the dirty laundry.
They have a home for dirty laundry?
What do you mean
you guys are really good. He touches his temples. Home run. Home run. Home run.
How's that working out for
us? No hitter.
That's crazy.
No hitter. No hitter.
They have a home for dirty laundry?
Double play.
So when Frank takes off his suit at the end of the day, does he give it to a guy who drives it over to his dirty laundry house?
For dirty laundry. They have a house that they just use that she uses the pool. You know, and of course she's going to say that he cheated on her. He's got extramarital affair of photos, you know. And this is the thing. We were told that these were classy, smart people. They bought her onto a bunch of hospital boards around town. They bought her onto the USC Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees at the University of Southern California, my alma mater, my God.
Yeah.
And now we have to say, well, what was it, Frank? Was she the smartest executive in the history of baseball, or is she a strumpet that you want to get rid of and cut out of everybody's life? Which was it? Which do I believe? What
it was
you said
one
5 years ago or
it's
what it
different
is now?
Now?
Well, you can't do that when you own a baseball team.
Yeah.
You can't, you mean politicians have to be less, or have the right to be less classy than the owner of, when you own a sports team. Look, Jerry Buss got divorced in the early 80s, right? And we know that Jerry Buss is kind of a Lothario and has done his thing around town. But he's always done it with discretion and class. And his divorce was very classy and very discreet.
Right.
When you own a team, you have to do that kind of thing because you
can't
represent
be Mel Gibson.
You represent a lot more than just yourself and your family and whatever business it is. You represent this baseball team that, let's face it, means a whole bunch to a lot of people. And the Dodgers are an anomaly. Look, the Lakers lose, and you guys saw it in the 90s, in the early 90s. When the Lakers lose, nobody goes. They really don't. I mean, they're not evergreen. The USC, UCLA, no one's going to go if those teams aren't doing well. The Dodgers could suck, and they still break attendance records every year because the team and the feeling of it and the I don't know, I guess just the culture of Dodger baseball and Chavez Ravine means so much to Los Angelinos. And to have these people making fools of all of us going back and forth, and they're not even from here, it's sickening and it's disgusting, and they need to sell the team.
Yeah.
Damn it all. Yeah, they're liars to the people. What are they liars to the people? Latinos!
Is here. We'll take a break. We got more with P after this on the Kevin. Petros Papadias from the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports Radio is here.
I heard the promo on my way in. You guys sit here and make fun of my lisp. And, you know,
we're not making fun of you.
Yeah, you are.
It's
and
love.
It's
respect.
Season.
It's not respect. It's not love. It's making fun of me.
I'm going to have to do TV and internet stuff and radio all day, every day. The football season is about to launch.
I can't wait.
And I come to see my friends Kevin and Dean to send me off, you know, hit me over the head with a bottle of champagne like the maiden voyage of a ship for the 2010 football season. And what do? You make fun of my lisp, a shortcoming that I have because my tongue is too big for my mouth.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and I'm a mouth breather, as you could tell from the last segment. And you know that really hurts my feelings, Bean, because you know, let those of you who have never sinned cast the first stone. I believe Jesus said that.
Can you have your tongue cut
like chopped down?
Yeah, like,
you know, I never really thought about it.
He wouldn't be as popular with the ladies.
You know, my tongue is loose and flaccid. And also too big for my mouth. So it rattles against my teeth as I speak, and it causes a problem. So
maybe you should shave it down somehow.
Stay tuned. Yeah, stay tuned for more sports highlights. I guess we could, you know, I don't know. What would you use to shave it down?
I don't know. I'm just
like a Venus, like the razor you use to shave chicks' legs. You know, I'm your Venus. I'm your fire.
Maybe a cheese grater.
Oh.
I don't know.
I guess
that is your that's your calling card, though. That's how people know it's you.
Well,
it's because
thank God.
They hear that famous voice.
I'll feel great when I pull up to my house. And
that
this is the house that my lisp built.
Exactly.
We have very limited time. We're going to get to our major announcement here in just a moment. But let me just
a big announcement. Coming.
Let me just ask you a couple things real quick, and try to contain your answer to under a minute on each of these topics because I know how you like to talk.
I'm watching
the
clock, and we'll do that.
All right. Maybe 30 seconds. How about 30 seconds for Petrus?
Okay, yeah, whatever you want.
All realistic. Of that realignment that we heard about teams switching conferences in college football. None of that starts this year, right? It's same old this year, right?
None of it. It's a lame duck season for many teams across the country, including Nebraska, Boise State, a lot of teams actually in the WAC conference, and it is a lame duck season for Colorado and a lame duck season for Utah, and then we'll see most of them, I believe, join in 2011, but we're going to see more movement in conferences and college football and rivalries bastardized. Within the next 5 years, I think we're going to end up with 4 16-team power conferences. Time!
How many do we have now? How many conferences?
Well, we have
don't
a
ask
lot.
Follow-up questions,
okay,
Kevin.
Sorry.
Come on. We're trying to live.
We have a lot of conferences, BCS conferences or non-BCS conferences. There's movement all through all of them, and some teams will hop. It's going to get very complicated.
Got it.
Next question. Did Tiger win his tournament over the weekend? Last I heard, he was leading, and will he now start playing better again because he's single and doesn't have to run around behind his wife's back?
He didn't win. But I will say this about Tiger Woods Bean. I believe now that he's divorced, you know, somehow he's going to play his way out of this. I think because there's a smoldering crater left where, like, the idea of Tiger Woods used to be. I mean, we used to watch a cartoon Tiger Woods with Gatorade, you know, playing golf with Bambi for commercials.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, he was just a giant sexual deviant. I think if he wore nipple tassels and chaps and rolled up in a Cadillac with horns, you know, and just had hookers everywhere and just really embraced who he is, because that's him. He's a wild sexual deviant. I think then he'd break Nicholas's record 2-3 years tops.
Just accept who he
just
is.
Just embrace nipple tassels, you know, get a lip piercing and just go do it, man.
Just roll up like this.
All
right. last question for the P. Could James Lights Out Tony have prepared any less for his fight Friday night against Randy Couture?
Yeah, I think if you're going to put a boxer against a MMA guy, especially one as intense and nice and creepy and weird and kind of cool as Randy Couture, you might want to mix in a crunch or two. You might want to pull out the old Ab Ripper X on the P90X and, you know, bang that out for a couple weeks before you step into the ring. I hate seeing a boxer step. I love boxing, and I kind of like boxing more than the UFC MMA stuff. Not that I don't respect the MMA stuff. Just with one guy with his knees on another guy's chest just wrecking his face, to me, I don't know. I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to see that. But if I'm going to see a boxer and I'm going to step up for boxing, I would like that guy to mix in some crunches, you know.
Sure.
We need more representation in the world of boxing than that guy.
He was fat and he had giant boobs.
Yeah.
And he got choked out.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy.
2 minutes.
He's a really good interview, and he's a better interview than Randy Couture.
Good interview?
Yeah, James Toney.
I didn't understand a word he said afterwards.
Well,
not a word.
That's because he got choked out by Randy Couture, but generally in the world of sports talk radio, he's a good interview.
But
I feel sad that he got beat down like that, but Couture's a great guy, so whatever.
He's also, Couture is 47 years old, by the way.
Yeah, he's not Emmett.
Yeah, he's expendable, is what he is.
See
what you did? See what you did? Because he was in that movie.
Was he in that?
Yes.
Dude, if they don't have Seagal and Van Damme, I'm not paying no attention. I saw Double Impact as a child, all right? I can quote Marked for Death. Don't start with me about the Expendables. It's ridiculous.
Petros Papadakis is half of the very successful Petros and Money Show, which airs on Fox Sports across this great nation of ours. Hey, you've already heard the major announcement, but don't you think the kids are going to be very excited when they hear what we're about to play for them, Pete?
You know what? In all honesty, I wore sweatpants in here and no underwear, and now I'm scared to get up and leave the studio because
God.
I heard what the announcement is.
That is not what I want to hear.
That's how big of a boner I have about this.
Wow.
Freaking awesome.
Let's roll it out right now. Listen up, and then we'll tell you how you can be there.
What's up? This is Chester from Lincoln Park.
What's up, you guys? It's Mike.
At a secret location on a secret date.
You can be the first to hear our new CD
at the Kevin and Bean Breakfast
with Lincoln Park.
Listen all week to instantly reserve a spot on the guest list and instantly win their new CD, A Thousand Suns, before it's in store September 14th.
Yeah! Come have pancakes and eggs and turkey bacon with Linkin Park, won't you?
Keep listening. It's your only way in.
K-Rock.
All right, so...
I am a little bit of loneliness, a little bit of disregard.
All right,
everyone
we'll
can see
Park
these stars.
Practice with Petros Papadakis.
So I go watching you.
All right.
Turn your back like you always do.
sing instead.
Face the way you pretend that I'm not.
Okay. Super secret location with Linkin Park. Breakfast with Linkin Park. That's huge news. It's one of the biggest rock bands in the world, and you can be there right now if you call us at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a hint. You need to know Linkin Park's music pretty well, but you should
really
anyway
well.
If you
want
to
be
shut
able
to up
get
when I'm talking to you. Shut up.
You need to know it really well.
If you're a fan of LP's music, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win Breakfast with Linkin Park on The Kevin and Bean Show after this. Just announced on The Kevin and Bean Show, Breakfast with Linkin Park, Mother Effers, plus a copy of their brand new album called A Thousand Suns in stores on Thursday, September the 14th. Very excited. You know, we did a Breakfast with Linkin Park a few years ago, and those guys are tremendous. Not only great live performers, but great interviews, too, and they love their fans. So if you're an LP fan, you're going to have an amazing time there. You can go. If you want to play a new game, we're going to debut right now at 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
Feel the rhythm with your hands.
His name is Ralph Garman.
Spoonman.
You better be ready, because if you're not, he'll spoon you to death.
He will play you a song you know.
Guess it right, you'll go to the show.
Spoonman.
Here's okay. What happened. Woo! Here's what happened. Here's what happened.
We walked, awesome.
We walked into the morning show office, and Ralph said, guys, I have a new game. It's called What's Ralph Playing on the Spoon in His Mouth?
Much better name than Spoon Man, by the way.
And he said, what are you talking about? And he took a plastic spoon out, and he can actually play a tune on a spoon in his mouth.
We'll see.
Okay, oh, there you go. All right. Would you like to take that back? Okay. So all you have to do if you're a caller then is identify what Linkin Park song, Ralph, you are playing with a spoon in your mouth. Do I have that right?
It's just that simple.
He's tapping it with his fingernail. He's just hitting it. But he's moving his mouth, and that's how he plays
that's
the song.
That's impressive.
So, all right. If you are able to identify the song, if you can beat the Spoon Man at his own game, you will win tickets into the super secret Breakfast with Linkin Park. All right. So let's try this for the first time ever. We'll take him in order, starting with line one. It's going to be Michael to get us going. Hey, Michael. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready to play.
You're our first contestant on Spoon Man. Good luck.
Now, do you have me potted up enough with the microphone? Because it's going to be hard to...
I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
I can hear it.
Okay. Right. Here we go. What do you think there, Michael? Michael, what song's he doing?
Leave out all the rest.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away.
Sorry, that was well done, by the way.
That was very good. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's try Maria. Let's see if Maria can win her way into Breakfast with Linkin Park, just announced today on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Maria, ready to play?
Yes.
Did you get that last one? Did you recognize the song?
No.
Okay.
That's a shame because that's the best one. That's the easiest one to guess. Is everyone else? Good luck.
You're screwed.
Ralph spent all morning rehearsing the first one. Now let's see how it goes from this point on.
I hear you.
Ralph, you're awful.
Yeah. Hey, this isn't easy.
All right, Maria, you want to take a stab at it?
Calling.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Calling in my sin.
You got that. You're complaining about he's awful, but you got it.
How about that?
Yeah, the slow ones are tough.
We'll see you at the Breakfast with Linkin Park.
This says Lajani. I doubt that's right.
Oh,
Lajani. I'm sure I'm mastering
Lehani.
That.
What?
It's Lehani.
Lehani.
Lehani. Right.
Mahalo.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're playing Spoon Man with Ralph Garman. Listen up. Here's your song.
Dude, seriously?
Dude, seriously.
Imagine all of the money that goes into the microphones and the broadcast system and the tower.
I don't need all that.
Old school.
Ralph's hitting the freaking spoon.
Woo!
In his mouth.
Vaudeville's back.
All right, name that song, please, Lehani.
Let's see. A Place in My Head?
No, I'm sorry. We were looking for one.
Everything you say to me.
Yeah. All right, we only have time for one more, I'm sorry to say. So far, not a lot of big winners, but maybe Anna will turn us around. Anna on line four, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right,
good luck.
You're Spoon Man.
Oh,
Shut up, Homer.
That's kind of a retarded version of that song, but the melody's there. What do you think, Anna?
What I've Done?
No.
Oh, sorry. But in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Oh,
I'm so all right, good.
Well, this, you this are game, good. This game may need some work. We'll give you another chance.
The spoon broke. I need a new spoon.
Tomorrow on Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for playing with the man.
His name is Ralph Garman.
Spoon Man.
I got to give Ralph Garman credit for not getting in his car and driving away after the Spoon Man bit.
What?
But he's here. He's here still pretending he's on the show.
Crushed that bit.
You did.
Crushed it.
You did. That was
a baseball. I'd still be traveling out of the park. that spoon bit was a baseball.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Spoon Man?
Well, the Oscars. Nope. The Emmys were on last night. Here are your big winners. Mad Men won for Best Drama Series. Modern Family won for Best Comedy. The Pacific won for Best Miniseries over there on HBO. Jim Parsons won for Best Actor in a Comedy. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad for Best Actor in a Drama. Al Pacino, star of You Don't Know Jack, over on HBO, won for Best Actor in a TV Movie. Edie Falco won for Best Comic Actress. Kira Sedgwick for Best Dramatic Actress. Claire Danes won for Best Miniseries or Movie as an Actress for her role as Temple Grandin, who is the autistic animal lover who wears cowboy shirts.
Yes.
And has bad hair.
Yeah.
Bean Baxter, that's all I'm saying.
Same thing.
Must have been the greatest Emmys ever for Bean Baxter last night. His fellow autistic sufferer won a ton of Emmys, and then Dr. Death, Jack Kevorkian, also in the audience last
that's
night.
True. I enjoyed seeing Dr. Death. I did do it.
That's true.
Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, Eric Stone Street from Modern Family. Aaron Paul won for that award in a drama. Jane Lynch for Glee for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy, and Archie Punjabi, the supporting actress for a drama from The Good Wife. Hey. And then they gave George Clooney a humanitarian award, the Bob Hope Humanitarian Award, for best work raising money for charities, who is someone vaguely connected to television who used to have a TV series.
It's well, a strange I think he's category, done a lot of his work still. On television.
Yeah,
you know,
he's done a lot
Hope
of
Hope for Haiti, telethons, and stuff like that.
So they gave George an award, and as always, he's just the best. He's just better than us. Here's a little taste.
Now, the truth is, look, when a disaster happens, everybody wants to help. Everybody in this room wants to help. Everybody at home wants to help. So here's hoping that some very bright person right here in the room or at home watching can help find a way to keep the spotlight burning on these heartbreaking situations that continue to be heartbreaking long after the cameras go away. That'd be an impressive accomplishment.
He's the best person in the world, isn't he, Ralph?
He's a nice dude.
Yeah.
And did you see how hilarious he was in that Modern Family tape sketch, too, where he ends up in bed with everybody? So funny.
I gotta get a film, he says when he's in bed with the two gay guys. Good stuff. Mad Men, as I mentioned, won for Best Drama Series last night, and the episode last night, if you didn't see it, it's not a spoiler or anything, but Don's got to cut back on the sauce. Whew.
Drinking too much?
Whew. I woke up hungover because I watched the episode last night. I wasn't even drinking. I was just watching television. Woke up like, oh, I need some Alka-Seltzer. What happened to me? Oh, I watched Mad Men. We should do this as a phone-in topic, because Don, in the course of the episode, loses a weekend because of his drinking.
Oh. A complete weekend. He's complete weekend. Idea?
Nope. Starts out on a Friday. Next thing you know, he's getting a phone call Sunday morning from his ex-wife saying, you're supposed to be here watching the kids. Where are you?
And he said, I don't know.
He says, I'm going to be there Sunday. She goes, it is Sunday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's drinking. That is drinking.
Yeah.
So they've released a list online of the 12 heaviest drinkers in TV history, which I thought was a fascinating topic. Peter Griffin made number 12.
Sure.
He does like to drink. Bobby Brown was 11th from Being Bobby Brown. That's true. Got to give him that. Norm Peterson from Cheers. Norm was 10th. Barney Gumble from The Simpsons.
Hey, Homer!
Sure. 9th on the list. Otis from The Andy Griffith Show. The Town Drunk was 8th. Everyone ever on a Dean Martin roast was number 7, which is true. They used to get loaded quite a bit on that old show. Sue Ellen Ewing from Dallas, she would drink an awful lot. The guys from Jackass were 5th.
Only 5th?
They were just 5th, but they've earned their spot at 5th. I'm a little upset because the Mad Men are 4th on the list.
Wow. Four.
Who's drinking more than men?
Sterling, Draper, all those guys. Fourth on the list. Third, Patsy and Eddie from Absolutely Fabulous. Remember that TV series? They were constantly.
That was
drunk.
That British show?
Yeah, the British show about the two best friends who were women who were just, that's all they did.
Yeah, they
was
drank.
Just drink. Number two is an old show called The Galloping Gourmet. It was sort of the first of the big cooking shows on television, Kevin. You'll love it.
But this guy was great
because he used to drink while he was cooking and get loaded on the show. And by the end of the show, he'd be slurring and like making fun of people and stuff. So that was always entertaining. But number one, and you may have a bone to pick.
This is a mess.
No, sadly, it's not Hasselhoff. Right. The robot Bender from Futurama, they say, is the biggest drinker on television. If you watch Futurama,
what did you do? Really?
How did they not? How did Kevin not get on that list? By the way,
how dare
great
you.
Point.
He was the voice of the Grammys, right? You were on television.
I thought of Kevin last night as Top Chef won Best Reality Show, which we haven't mentioned earlier today. But after 7 years of The Amazing Race winning, Top Chef won. And I thought Kevin loves and supports those cooking shows. He's going to be so happy right now.
I was yelling, "You're kidding me!"
But Padma looked pretty good up there on the stage.
Padma.
She's pretty hot.
She's awesome.
She's the hostess of that show, and she is a smoking hot model actress. I think they're giving her own sitcom, which is well-deserved. Because after all, she says, here's your ingredient. F.
That's her role.
F show business.
is she the one that used to be married to Salman Rushdie?
Yes.
Wow. Don't get that.
There's a fatwa. You know what I'm saying?
No kidding.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds dirty.
Sounds funny.
Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Lou Black. He is 62 years old today. Louis Black.
I don't
62.
Have it.
Really? After you said, should we prepare a line from Louis Black like we do with the singers?
Candy corn blows.
There you go. Michael Chiklis, very talented actor with a new series coming on this fall, is 47. Paul Oakenfold.
You're twittering.
Okay.
You. Michael Chiklis.
Past there. Him now.
DJ Paul Oakenfold is 47 years old today.
If you listen to Glenn Beck. You.
Right. Actress Cameron Diaz is 38 years old.
Unbelievable.
It's true. TV personality Lisa Ling celebrates her 37th birthday.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. She's actually 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just announced last hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, our latest breakfast. We've been doing these for years. We get the biggest bands in the world in a tiny little space for you to ask questions and listen to them perform live. Next time up, it's going to be Linkin Park. Got a new record coming out on September the 14th. You'll have a chance to get up close and personal with Linkin Park. If you want to go, got details at kevinandbean.com. We'll have more tickets you can win every day this week right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about do-it-yourself healthcare. That doesn't seem very smart.
No, not at all. People, not at all and not ever.
People try to take care of stuff themselves because most of the time they don't have money, they don't have insurance coverage or whatever. China was on TMZ.com, the wrestler, and China didn't go to the ER because she said it would have cost too much. So she played doctor on herself with a Swiss Army knife.
Oh, my God.
What was her problem? What did she need a knife for?
She had a swollen golf ball-sized lump that formed in her leg.
Ugh.
And she cut it out.
How did that happen?
I don't know. She thinks it's some kind of bug bite or something. But then...
She should look out for radioactive spiders is what she should do.
She then doused the wound in hydrogen peroxide and neosporin, but now she says she's in so much pain she can barely walk.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, I am going to tell you, and I don't have any facts in front of me to back this up, but I would bet every month more people than the month before don't go to the emergency room because they can't afford it.
Yep.
But because they don't have insurance or they can't afford the part that insurance doesn't cover. And if there's any way at all, there's some stuff you can't do yourself.
Right.
You can't set a broken bone, for instance. But if you've got something like a spider bite and, you know, she did the right thing. She cut out the part that hurt and, you know, used hydrogen peroxide and neosporin. That's about all you can do.
Right. But she didn't do the right thing because then it got worse and now she has to go to the doctor.
And now they're going to take her leg off.
I don't think that's true.
No.
I'm just saying I think these stories are incredibly common.
I agree. I mean, when I was in college, I did break my nose and I tried to set it.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, I'd had a few.
A couple.
And I was running upstairs and I had my hands in my pockets of my jacket and I couldn't get them out. And I smashed my face on a stair and it was crooked. So, and I'd seen them do it in movies. So I just grabbed it and tried to straighten it. And I fell to the ground. It hurt so much. But it worked enough that I didn't go to the doctor.
Did you fall to the ground with such force that you felt like you were throwing out the first pitch at a Dodgers game?
How dare you?
I like how Kevin uses cowboy anesthesia of like whiskey and beer too.
No, I was drunk before I fell. That's the problem.
No.
And then
going to take your calls, by the way, if you've done medicine on yourself or in your household, if you have tried to be doctor to save money. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. My wife had a dog bite recently. Linus nicked her when they were out playing. And she thought about going to the hospital. It was clear that it needed stitches, but she had a neighbor come over who was a nurse and stitch it up in our kitchen instead.
Well, that's different if she's if at least she's trained.
Right. At least she's had some experience in the medical field.
Although I think most nurses would say, no, why don't you go to the doctor?
I definitely think this is really common amongst like swole dudes and like athletes. Because
swole dudes like China.
Exactly. You're constantly getting injuries, and a lot of them can seem minor, and you don't want
to. So you just like learn to not pay attention to them too much?
I took an abscess out of my buddy. I actually got a bunch of syringes. He didn't have health insurance, and he asked me to do it. He had a big, almost golf ball sized swollen deal on his arm, kind of like China's leg, and we just sat there and just filled syringe after syringe with this.
And it worked?
I mean, he never saw any problems with it after that. It was disgusting.
So we're saying it's a good idea then? Is that the message we're putting out there?
I'm not.
I'm saying, depending on the injury, it may be fine. It may not be a bad choice. I think if you have the option to have a professional go ahead and look it over, that's best, though.
Sure. But if you go to an emergency room, don't they have to treat you?
They do, but they'll also bill you, and there's no way.
I see.
I mean, China, you know who China is.
Yeah. No way for her to get away.
Yeah.
And also, it can take, you know, depending on what else is going on in the emergency room, depending on where you live, it can take 6 hours to get seen, too. And sometimes you don't want
that. By the way, that is the low average by where I live.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you go to the emergency room, you know that it's going to be a 5 to 10 hour wait.
You almost want to put your name on a list and then go home and sleep and come back.
So you have to factor that in. Is it bad enough that I want to go wait for 10 hours?
I've been so lucky because I've been 2 or 3 times in the last few years and I've had like an hour wait at the most.
Because you're hot. That's why.
Maybe
that's what was the video on Tosh.0 last week where they showed a guy and I think his wife was pulling a tooth
out his tooth with pliers. And she just slipped a couple times.
Grabbed a hold of it and just yanked it. Now, I don't recommend self-dentistry at all. And by the way, maybe that's
self-surgery is good, though, right?
I'm just saying, if you take anything away from today's Kevin DeBean show, it's that we don't recommend self-dentistry, okay?
All right,
1-800-520-1067. Let's take one real quick before the break. Which one you want?
Let's start with Shane.
Why not? Shane on line one joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Shane, we're talking about physician, heal thyself, but you're not a physician. What'd you do?
Well, I broke my ankle a couple years ago, a couple years ago, I didn't have any insurance, so...
What were you doing? Were you playing sports?
No, I was working, and I was carrying a welder and a plasma cutter, and they both weigh, I don't know, good 60 pounds each. And I had a backpack on that weighed 30, so
good.
I had a lot of weight, and I slipped and just... All the weight went down on my ankle, and you hear this loud snap. And I hit the ground, and it just instantly the size of a grapefruit and black. And it was the most pain I've ever been in. And
okay, why didn't you at that point go to the doctor?
I didn't have insurance.
But isn't it covered by workplace insurance?
Well, it's a family-run business, so we don't really have insurance. We're supposed to get our own, and I couldn't afford it at the time.
Okay, excellent. Right. So the first thing you thought is why the ankle got to be black, and then the second thing you thought is what am I going to do to alleviate this pain? So what did you do?
Well, I just as soon as I got home, I got my friends to bring as much alcohol over my house as possible. I got really, really drunk, and we went it and set it. We just got a bunch of like sticks and those paint stirrers.
You found sticks that you stir paint with, and you put them on either side of your ankle and taped it tight.
Yeah, duct taped it as tight as we can get it.
Right.
How about that? And how, did you have any kind of lingering problems as a result of that when that healed, or did it work out okay?
No, it didn't heal quite right. There's a big bump on the side of my ankle.
Really?
After about, I don't know, 8 months, it stopped hurting.
After eight months.
But still, you occasionally tweak it, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, every once in a while, just anything out of the blue, it'll feel like it's ready to give.
Yeah. Again. So would you say that was a good idea or a bad idea?
It's not the best idea. I can still walk.
That's as far as he'll go. It's
I can
not
still
the best
walk
idea.
Is what he came away with, by the way. I can still walk.
It might be the second best idea.
All right, Shane, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Self-surgery, we want to hear your stories up next here on the Kevin DeBean. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about frontier medicine, what they used to do in the Little House on the Prairie days, where it was too far to travel to find a doctor, so you had to learn how to stitch yourself up when you fell off the horse. Those are the topics on the table at 1-800-520-1067. Sometimes it's because you don't have the money. Sometimes it's because you don't have the time to go to a doctor. Here's an email from Bruce who says he had a friend who spent 26 hours, Kevin, waiting in the emergency room. He went with mumps. 26 hours with mumps in the emergency room. Wouldn't you think they would take him in just so everyone else in the emergency room didn't catch mumps?
Yeah, I would think so. But what they prioritize according to how bad it is. So you come in with a gunshot wound, you go right in ahead of the mumps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Tony. He's on line six. I think he has a story involving some duct tape, too. Duct tape, by the way, seems to be the number one thing that you use when you get hurt.
You can do anything with duct tape. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, guys.
What were you doing when you hurt yourself, and how did you hurt yourself?
Well, I was out at Glamis dirt biking, and we were jumping like a big 100-foot jump, and I crashed and whacked my shin really hard, and my ankle swelled up, so I, like, duct taped it.
Yeah.
The next day so I could still ride because we had a couple days to ride.
Right.
And it would swell, so I'd have to re-duct tape it every day.
Oh, ow, ow, ow.
Now, you didn't have, like, pre-wrap or anything. You just put the duct tape right on your skin.
Pretty much on the top of the ankle, yeah. I mean, on the sock, I duct taped it. But, you know, after a while, it just kind of peeled the hair off, and I kind of got used to it.
Right now.
Good times.
Okay, why didn't you go to the doctor? Just too far from where you were?
Well, no, I was just kind of young and stupid. And then I used to race a lot of motocross. And that weekend, I had a really big race on Saturday, and I was scared that what the doctor would tell me.
Which is not right, yeah.
So I duct taped it all week long until I could go to the race.
How'd you do in the race?
I got like a third.
All right.
Good for you.
Nicely done.
Yeah, it got so swollen in practice that I couldn't hang, so I went to the EMT just to have him check it out, and he said, dude, you broke your tibia.
Wow.
But good job with the duct tape.
Yeah, so I signed a waiver, and he really taped it up good for me, and I was able to race, and then I was in a cast for like a month after that.
Good for you. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Let's try Morgan. He's on line three, joining us on the Kevin Mead Show. Morgan, self-surgery. What happened?
Yeah, I was cutting some roof shingles with a straight edge and a razor blade, and the razor blade slipped and cut my whole thumb off
through the
nail, and kind of just squeezed it together and went home and super glued it together, and then once that dried, wrapped it with some electrical tape, and it healed perfectly.
How about that? The tip of your thumb back on with super glue?
Well, it was like flat. It was still connected at the very bottom, so it was kind of just flapping off there, but you could see the bone and everything. It was basically cut all the way through, and yeah, I just used some super glue because I guess that's what they used to do in World War II. So.
Yeah, well, everything they did in World War II still holds up today.
Did you have a scar afterwards, or how's it look today?
There's like a little line that you can see, but other than that, it healed perfectly.
Anybody who says
that's what they used to do in World War II is effed up somehow. That's not how you should judge things.
Let's try Dylan, line four. He's got a prison surgery story. Hi, Dylan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, man?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What happened?
I was in prison, and I ended up in the California fire camp program.
Right.
And if you got sick, you had to go back to the actual main prison yard to get any kind of medical.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I ended up with a terrible case of tonsillitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get rid of it, and they swole up, and they got covered with pus. And to alleviate it, I had to take a razor blade and lance both of my tonsils.
No.
You can't do that.
Listen to Lisa.
Yeah. No.
Wait, you can't. You reached into the back of your throat with a razor blade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even.
Did you put duct tape on afterwards?
No, there was no duct tape.
Can you use super glue?
I wouldn't know where the tonsils are.
You couldn't see. Once you had your hand in there, you couldn't even see what you were doing.
Well, I had a mirror, obviously.
Obviously. Lisa, come on. Try to keep up.
You know, that's insane.
Lisa May, if you need help reaching the back of your throat.
Okay, that's fine, Gene. That's fine. Thank you for the call.
What about the bizarre thing I've ever heard?
What about the guy, and I know he didn't have a choice because there was no doctor available, the guy who had to chop his own arm off when he was stuck in that mountain climbing thing. They're making the movie. The movie's coming out here. I mean, I understand a situation. You can go to that guy and go, hey, why'd you decide to do self-surgery? Well, I had no other choice. I was going to die otherwise. I was out in the woods by myself for 3 days. But if you're in prison, doesn't it seem like there's a doctor that you can go see, somebody who will do that for you?
Yeah, but he didn't want to go back.
He didn't want to go back. He was out doing firework or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe he thought he wouldn't be able to
Let's
go back
Let's talk to Christina. Most of these people have been guys. Hard to believe. Christina, hi.
Hi.
What happened to you? Where and how?
I was at a Bad Religion concert in 2008, and I made the mistake of dwelling near the mosh pit.
Sure.
And I got pummeled by what was probably the rendition of my childhood boogeyman. He was huge. He was like a football player, and I'm short, and he totally pummeled me, and I flew like 6 feet, and I dislocated my elbow.
Dislocated your elbow?
Yeah, it was like dangling. It hurt so incredibly bad.
But you didn't want to leave Bad Religion.
I didn't want to leave Bad Religion, and I didn't have health insurance anyway. So with the help of a couple guys that were just, like, by the bar, they popped my elbow back into place.
Oh, my God.
And needless to say, it hurt really, really bad.
Right.
But I didn't want to leave the show. And by the end of the show, like, I kind of forgot about it. And
you were drinking.
Just a little.
Yeah. That's the only way to forget about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the time I got to the car, I was the one who was driving.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I hope it was a stick shift.
Huh?
I hope it was a stick shift.
No.
No. All
right. But I saw my elbow then, and it had swollen, and it was probably softball grapefruit size. It was huge. And so we had to splint it, and we had to go through my car, and really all we found were beer bottles. So we had to splint it with my fishnet stockings and with beer bottles.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Right. Wow.
It's not a party until you end up with beer bottles and fishnet stockings wrapped around your dislocated shoulder.
You're the winner, Christina. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:39. You don't have a lot of time for...
I haven't even started yet. You're laughing.
Hold on, Al has an important announcement. Big speech.
It's really an honor.
Time for the speech, because we have...
To have...
go ahead, Al.
Had the pleasure...
Okay. He's a professional actor, Al Pacino.
Yes. He needs other people's words.
That was the speech that he gave when he won his Emmy last night. What's up?
That happened.
TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, of course, is 24/7 on the website. And, of course, the television show Consult Your Local Listings. Our friend Dax joins us from the TMZ newsroom. How are you, my friend? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
What was the consensus in the morning meeting today about the Emmys last night? What did folks think about the show and how Jimmy Fallon did?
Well, I thought Jimmy did good, but honestly, we don't cover the shows like all the other entertainment shows out there, so we don't really care as much. We want the parties afterwards. That's what the news is.
I totally get that. I understand that's not what you guys do, but every celebrity in the world was there, so I know that you guys were watching. I was just wondering what you thought.
No, we'll definitely watch. We do some of like the bad fashion stuff. You know, I liked watching Betty White on there. I thought she was pretty funny. I can't believe how popular she's gotten over the last couple of years.
I know.
Yeah.
She has done more since she turned 88 than most people do in an entire lifetime. I don't know how that's possible.
More money this year than the last 30, I swear.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of these celebrities and their bad behavior over the weekend. I know you got a Paris and a Lindsay story both up. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's do Paris. It's so good.
All right. All right. Tell us what happened. She's in Las Vegas, Friday night, right?
She's in Las Vegas with her boyfriend on Friday night. They leave the Wynn. The second they pull out, they get pulled over. Her boyfriend gets arrested for DUI, and she gets arrested for possession of cocaine. And so she gets arrested. The mugshot's awesome. She looks actually really, really good. But
of course. She knows how to take photos.
Now she's claiming it wasn't my cocaine. It was someone else's. I think they put it in my purse. I let my girlfriend borrow my purse. I got it back. I didn't check. And there happened to be cocaine in there.
I think people keep pretty good track of their cocaine.
Yeah, you would think, right?
They do.
I gotta say, it's possible. I mean, there's a chance that could happen.
But let me ask you a question. Is that relevant? I mean, if they found it in her purse, too bad. Right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Anyone else, I'm sorry, if I had coke in my wallet, I think someone would be like, well, that's your fault. You had it in your wallet.
Yeah.
But you would try. I mean, I wouldn't put it past you to try, you know. No, hey, Harvey gave it to me.
This is the same thing that happened when she was down in South Africa with the marijuana.
Oh,
she
was, for the World Cup.
And she was like, this was not my marijuana. And then they ended up letting her go. I think she's got fall people.
Wow.
She must, or they think she's a mule somehow, which is weird because she gets arrested so often. She'd be the last person that I'd give my cocaine to. Two things about this story, Dax. One is, how likely is the police's story that they smelled marijuana as the car was driving by and decided to pull it over? Does that really happen?
I mean, it's Paris's car.
If it's full enough of weed.
Marijuana's got such a strong smell, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. And secondly, is it true that they didn't search her purse? The cocaine fell out of her purse when she reached in to get lip balm. Right?
The whole story is just so awesome, you guys.
Wait, that's true?
Well, I heard that they searched everything. So that's where they were finding it in there. But the fact that she didn't see it when she grabbed the purse and that a cop would see it, I mean,
yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What's likely to happen to her? I mean, she has done time in the past. Is she set up so that she could do serious time because she's a prior offender?
Well, the thing is, in Vegas, they're very, very strict about this. And if you get caught with it and they charge you and you are guilty, it's like 1 to 6 years in jail.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
I mean, it's Paris. I don't. And the thing is, we're hearing it's a very, very small amount.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn our attention to Lindsay Lohan. It was only a matter of time. I guess it ended up being less than a week before she ran afoul of the law. She was also pulled over, right?
Well, she was, over by the Chateau Marmont, which, of course, is her little hangout.
Home away from home.
And there's a cop sitting there up at her window. We got video of him. And apparently she had, like, run a stop sign. And so the cop pulled her over. But here's the thing. If she gets in trouble at all, you guys, this is a big deal. She's got Inferno that she's going to be filming in November in Louisiana. If she messes up, the judge will not let her leave the state. And then she's going to screw up that production.
But they didn't give her a ticket, right?
Nope. They let her go on a warning.
You would think that she would be so amazingly careful now.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too. I mean, stop at every stop. Don't even go to Chateau. Make it a blockbuster night.
Exactly.
She doesn't have those, I don't think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And she didn't get pulled over because they knew it was Lindsay Lohan, right? They just happened to see this vehicle that ran a stop sign.
Yeah, just a little Porsche driving around, and you pull it over.
By the way, that's a weak-ass ticket because 90% of people run stop signs on a right-hand turn.
Okay,
especially.
But do 90% of hot women
good
get,
point.
Get the tickets?
That's a good point. Yeah, she got let loose. I would have got the ticket. Not a hot woman. So that's the way that works.
By the way, I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
How did you get Ralph to join Twitter?
We didn't. Mm-mm. Kevin Smith did.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
Yeah, we tried, and he mocked and mocked and mocked and mocked, and then Kevin Smith told him, he said, all right.
He basically, no one has hated on Twitter users more than Ralph Garman has over the past few months, and then all of a sudden his little boyfriend bats his eyelashes at him and says, oh, Ralph, you should be on. He's like, yes, sir.
And
so,
now he
Twitters
more than anyone on the planet.
Does he?
You guys, he's filled up my entire screen with retweets.
I think he loves it. I think he's fallen very deeply in love, and he at some point is going to have to admit how wrong he was about it. All right, Dax.
Wait, I have one more question for you.
What's
because
up?
I don't think we've talked to you since this news broke. Is there or is there not a Spencer and Heidi sex tape?
That's the question. Everyone's saying that
you don't
know. No, that's our question.
That's our question to you because you have the answer. Does it exist or
not? Basically, Stephen Hirsch over at Vivid is putting an ultimatum to Spencer and saying, you need to show me at least 30 seconds or I'm not wasting any more of my time because this could be a publicity stunt.
So no one believes.
We don't really know at this point.
All right.
It's going to be big, though. If it turns out to be true, people are going to want to see it. That's for sure.
It will make so much money, you have no idea.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed that it's pre-surgery, Heidi. If I'm going to see it, let me see it with this body.
Both. No, are you
crazy?
There's both.
That's what he was hawking it as.
If they were smart, by the way, they would go in and make a sex tape today and then send it to them. I don't even care if they're together. They would make millions.
<You're right.
laughs> I wouldn't put it past them, you guys. I think that they put it out there, seeing how much money they could make, and now they're probably filming scenes.
Yep, you're absolutely right. That's a great idea, you guys. All right, Dax Holt from TMZ.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dax Holt and follow your television listings right to TMZ TV. Thanks, Dax. Have a great week, man.
Bye, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ announcing Sublime with Rome. They are playing November 4th.
What did you do?
November 4th at the San Manuel Indian Bingo Casino. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. if you'd like to see that show.
What did you do?
From the world famous K-Rock, it is 8:54.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, the day after the Emmys. We've got highlights of the telecast last night. Ralph has been talking about the winners all day. We actually have some of the comedy highlights of the broadcast itself coming up after the top of the hour.
That telecast.
Yeah, the highlights were few and far between for me.
I wish Jimmy just sang more. Wish he just had more singing and
more
guitar.
Does he sing?
Is that? Apparently, once he sang once. Oh, wait a minute. Every category, every chance, everything.
I think
all the
you
time.
Use your host's skills, right? If there's something they can do, you try to use it, right?
Or
sure,
you
which he did in the open,
the host
brilliantly
host and just announce things and move the show along.
I'll tell you something else that didn't work at all were the Twitter announcements that he was reading throughout the time.
That was hilarious.
That was a showstopper in a bad way.
Don't you see? Because we are hip and we read tweets.
Yeah.
So that was, on the Emmys, let's read them now.
That was brutal.
There's a reason professionals write those things, because we're not good at it.
But professionals wrote that announcer script, too, and that was horrible.
Oh, that guy. Enough with him.
Yeah,
we don't need comedy from the guy backstage who's just bringing people on stage. How desperate do you have to be? How much do you have to try to jam in there? Well, let's try to get laughs from the announcer and then have Jimmy sing all the categories and then we'll read tweets. It's like, all right, okay, we get it. You're wacky. You're zany.
But yeah. I appreciate that they're trying new things.
I do too.
To shake
but
up
can't
the
can't they
Emmys,
try
though.
New good things?
Well, it's not as easy as it looks.
Then don't it's do e- it.
It's easy to see what doesn't work. It's very difficult to come up with things that do
but
work.
But if it doesn't work and it's easy to see that, then don't do what doesn't work. It
hasn't served us well.
But no one's right. expecting us to be good.
Highlights from the show coming up on the Kevin DeBeat Show. What else is going on in Hollywood?
I had a dream last night that Tom Hanks grabbed the guitar from Jimmy Fallon and beat him to death in the aisle. And I woke up smiling. It was funny because you could tell they wanted Hanks to join in and he would have none of it.
Nope. Just
not
sitting
playing
there.
Your little reindeer games, Jimmy Fallon. Just give me my 10,000 awards for the Pacific. And I'll be on my way, sir. It's top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday. Let's see what's happening, shall we? Last Exorcism was number one at the box office. $21.3 million made it so just behind it. In fact, they were sort of neck and neck all weekend. We won't really know until later today who really was number one, but Takers was right behind it with $21 million in its debut weekend. The Expendables was third. Eat, Pray, Love was fourth. Then the other guys rounding out the top five. Vampires Suck, Inception, Nanny McPhee, The Switch, and Piranha 3D are the rest of the top ten. A lot of Piranha 3D news today, oddly enough.
How was that, Bean?
What happened?
I didn't make it to Piranha 3D this weekend. I plan to maybe this week.
Right.
I'm going to try to squeeze it in this week.
I'm going to go see my first 3D movie this weekend. This weekend I'm going to see my first 3D movie. I plan to go see it this weekend, though, for sure.
Very, very busy on the farm this weekend. Getting the barn ready for winter. That's what
right.
I did this weekend.
We were all doing that.
Because winter's right around the corner.
It's
at
so
the end
cold.
Of August here.
Man, it's cold out.
That must be some barn if it takes you 3 months to get it ready for winter. Better get the sorghum put away. Till the back 40.
You mock, but it is something that has to be done.
You're so bad.
Anyway, here's your Piranha 3D news. Apparently, James Cameron is pooping all over Piranha 3D.
What?
Somebody interviewed him for Vanity Fair magazine. Or Vanity Fair magazine.
Either one
of them. They asked him about, was there any sense of nostalgia when the Piranha movie came out last weekend? Now, the reason they say that is because he was tapped by Roger Corman back in the day to direct Piranha 2, the sequel to the legendary film Piranha.
And what? That was like 20, 30 years ago?
1979. All right. In the early 80s, somewhere in there. It's well before James Cameron was James Cameron.
Right.
And he was fired off of the project.
Why?
Because I don't know. Something went awry. I'm guessing because Roger Corman likes to keep budgets low.
Oh.
And James Cameron had a tendency to shoot more, maybe, than they were asking for. I'm not sure the exact details of the firing, but he proceeds to just trash this movie.
Did he see it?
No.
Oh.
He says, there's no sort of fond connection for me whatsoever. In fact, I would go even farther and say that I tend almost never to throw other films under the bus. But that is exactly an example of what we should not be doing in 3D. Because it just cheapens the medium. It reminds you of bad 3D horror films from the 70s and 80s, like Friday the 13th in 3D. Which was awesome, by the way. When movies got to the bottom of the barrel of their creativity and at the last gasp of their financial lifespan, they did a 3D version to get the last few drops of blood out of the turnip. That's not what's happening now with 3D. It is a renaissance. Now the biggest and best films are being made in 3D.
Now all films are being made in 3D.
Yeah. So, apparently...
Did he see it?
He does not say here that he saw it.
I'm sure he did not.
But James Cameron is cranky about
stuff.
3D.
Because only he can do 3D because he is the magician of 3D.
Yeah, he wants everything to be Avatar, right?
Yes. Well, it's just not the case.
But let me ask you this, because I haven't seen the movie. I hear the 3D effects are pretty good in Piranha 3D. I heard that they shot it with 3D in mind. This isn't one of those Clash of the Titans where they came in after the fact and just tried to, you know, cheapen it up. No. I don't think this is an example of the kind of bad 3D he's talking about.
Not at all. It's very entertaining.
Look, they having said
have,
that,
they
Avatar
didn't have the
was...
money to shoot with the 3D cameras that he used for Avatar. They didn't. They shot the film in 2D using shots they knew they were going to transfer later into 3D, and then they did a post-production. No sin in that. No shame in that. Doesn't make it schlock and crap just because it's, they're using 3D. So pipe down. What do you want, more money? What is it going to take to make you happy, Cameron?
That movie made almost $3
billion. You got all the money. You got all the Oscars. Relax.
Did he direct The Abyss?
I don't know. I can't
remember. No one knows.
I'm glad I talked to him that way now.
There's no way to tell.
Did we ever talk to James Cameron? Ask him about The Abyss?
No. Nope.
I don't know if...
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
What did you do?
And more Piranha 3D news.
All right.
Joe Francis is now threatening to sue the producers of Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
He tells The Hollywood Reporter regarding Jerry O'Connell's character in the film,
mm-hmm.
who I guess you could say is loosely based, is a type of producer that you could draw some comparisons to Joe Francis over.
It's a stretch, but okay.
He does a thing called Wild Wild Girls, which is a video series where he videotapes women in various states of undress and has made a lot of money.
They did everything but name the character Joe Francis.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you?
Apparently, Jerry O'Connell in an interview said that he was playing Joe Francis.
Yeah.
That's all Joe needed to alert his lawyers. I believe Mr. O'Connell may lose more than his penis if he and the Weinstein Company choose to release this film and continue to falsely associate me with its questionable content, he told The Hollywood Reporter.
It's questionable content.
What does he do with the movie that Joe Francis hasn't done in real life and gone to jail for?
That's the best part.
Yeah.
He says, I appreciate a good parody as much as the next guy, but to associate me with drugs and the filming of underage girls definitely crosses a line. Screw you, scumbag,
says the guy who went to jail for filming underage girls.
And tax evasion, and I'm sure you never did a drug. Okay, whatever you say, St. Francis of a sissy. God damn.
I think we just crossed the line.
Yeah, I'd like to cross your line.
Does that mean?
I have no idea. All right. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I've got some cool tickets to give away. Passes to the very special Kevin and Bean premiere of a movie called The Virginity Hit. Now listen.
Machete.
No, nope. It's not Machete. It's Virginity Hit. You don't know this movie yet, but you will know it. It's a very entertaining film made by some very creative people that were basically discovered by our buddies Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
Fantastic.
And so they produced this film for them, and it is the story of some teenagers who try to get their friend laid to lose his virginity. And document the entire process and put it up on YouTube.
Awesome.
It's shot as a sort of pseudo-documentary, and it is very funny, and I think you're going to enjoy it enormously. If you'd like to go to the special premiere of this down there at LA Live downtown, that happens on September the 7th. It's going to be in theaters on September the 10th, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you'd like to go, first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now and get your passes to see the premiere of Virginity Hit. I think you're going to enjoy it. Today's celebrity birthdays... Lisa Ling, TV personality, is 37 years old.
We sent her back to China, right? After she couldn't breed? Wasn't that?
That was a panda. That was a panda named Ling Ling.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ling Ling. That's
Lisa
what it was.
Lisa Ling.
I very misunderstood.
Not a panda whatsoever.
Here, Lisa.
Here, Lisa. Oh. Looks like someone shot Lisa with a crossbow.
Bean did.
Cameron Diaz is 38 years old. DJ Paul Oakenfold is 47. Actor Michael Chiklis, he is 47 as well. And comedian Louis Black turns 62 years old today.
Unbelievable.
It's true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We made an announcement earlier this morning that we are having another breakfast.
Yes.
This time it is with Linkin Park. They have a new
Obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park.
No, that's a city from us. That's a different story altogether. That's not the same. But keep listening for your chance to win tickets. We're going to have breakfast with Linkin Park very soon. Go to the website for more details. It is 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. The awards season is up and running as of last night. That was the first of the big awards. Now it's nothing but awards for the next 5 months. Last night was the Emmys. My complaints about the Emmys are the same every year, and I know they're probably not going to do anything about it, but I think they need to move more of those awards to the weekend before when they do the Creative Arts Emmys.
I'd go so far as to say most.
that's where you want to see the directors. And I know you can't make good TV without directors. I get that, especially, you know, people listening in this town. I appreciate the work that you do, but not interested in seeing you on my television. I'm sorry. A lot of those movies and miniseries for television.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't that seem like that really dragged the show down?
Well, there were 7,000 miniseries awards.
Yeah, and it was the same ones over and over for various categories.
And I thought there were a lot of highlights. My biggest disappointment in terms of who won is I so desperately wanted Conan O'Brien to win because how great would it have been for him to be back in front of a live microphone on NBC winning an Emmy for a TV show that they canceled after 7 months when he hosted The Tonight Show.
He was up for an Emmy for The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome.
And one of the very funniest lines that Jimmy Fallon had very early in the show, and he was doing a lot of singing with his guitar last night, is
he
had a Conan joke.
I'm unclear on that.
You couldn't tell from watching the show last night, could you? Yeah. He had a Conan joke that just killed.
Hi, I'm your host, Jimmy Fallon, from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. NBC asking the host of Late Night to come to Los Angeles to host a different show. What could possibly go wrong?
And the camera cuts to Conan O'Brien, and he's sitting there in his seat, and Jimmy's too soon. Then Jimmy steps up to Amy Poehler, who, by the way, wins Best Breast Award for the night. You know, she's got a newborn at home, and man, were the girls on display. And she was right there in the front row last night, which was great.
Now, as you know, here on the Emmys, the show is broken down into five parts: comedy, reality, drama, variety, and miniseries and movies. Hi-ya! And here to help me introduce the first one is my friend, Amy Poehler.
This first category is comedy.
You're doing great so far.
I've been drinking since 3.
So he was singing along with a bunch of people in the audience, which I thought was kind of a funny concept.
Mm-hmm.
They had some great taped pieces last night. Lisa May mentioned earlier the Born to Run Bruce Springsteen Open, which was one of the great award show openings of all time, I thought.
I thought it was good. Awesome.
Jimmy Fallon, 4 kids from the Glee show, along with John Hamm and Tina Fey, and Betty White was in it, and Kate Gosselin was in it making fun of herself. I mean, it was a really spectacular opening. Jorge Garcia singing and dancing to Springsteen. Very funny. The other tape piece they did that was really funny last night was they were kind of poking fun at network executives who always try to change TV shows, you know, based on market research. And they were sitting down with the cast of Modern Family. And the network executive who'd been on the job for 2 months is trying to explain, hey, let's make this show even better by bringing in characters from other shows. No one will be able to not watch a show if they got other characters. And Stewie from Family Guy makes an appearance.
So remember how excited you all were when we brought Lily home? Well, surprise, because we adopted another baby.
Well, I'm game, but I don't know what world you're living in that you think two gay guys can adopt a white baby.
By the way, great line. Great line.
Why can't you guys just get a normal kid?
Hey, Al Bundy, must be nice to finally be on a show that you can mention at dinner parties and not have people cringe.
I'm just going to say that everything is better with Stewie. I think Stewie should be on all shows.
I must have fallen asleep during that part. I don't even remember that.
Very funny. One of the great accepted speeches of the night last night, partly because she was just so gobsmacked that she won, was Edie Falco, who won for Best Comedy Actress for Nurse Jackie. As we were saying earlier, a lot of people don't necessarily consider that a comedy. It's much more of a drama show, but it does have some comedic elements to it. And great speech, and you could tell she was just amazed, and she had a very funny line.
Oh, this is just the most ridiculous thing that has ever happened in the history of this lovely awards show. Thank you so much. I'm not funny.
All of what she said is true. When she wins her comedy award. Will Arnett, Amy Poehler's husband, always great, got a new TV show coming up this fall that I'm looking forward to. He gets up. I thought it was a very funny bit he did with actress Carrie Russell.
My favorite part of A Woman by Will Arnett. Oh, luscious mounds.
No, Will, they cut that.
Did they?
It's really dirty. Yeah.
It's really dirty.
Best line of the whole night, though, had to be the great Ricky Gervais, who kills every time he's on stage. He's going to be hosting the Golden Globes later in the awards season, but he was, I wish I had time to play more of what he had to say, but here was, I think, the line of the night.
Mel Gibson, come on. No, come on. I'm not going to have a go at him. He's been through a lot. Not as much as the Jews.
Because Mel has had a lot to say about the Jews.
You know, when he is on stage, you forget that you're even watching an award show.
Yeah,
you
he
just
takes
sit
over.
Back and relax, and yep. He goes. And he's just the best.
Yeah, you don't get nervous watching him try to do comedy as you do with so many other people where you wonder if they're going to get through the joke or if it's going to be funny. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And just by unbelievable, tremendous fortune, one of the awards that he was given away was, I think it was a reality show award. And the guy who won is the gentleman who directed the Winter Olympics opening on NBC in Vancouver.
Right.
His name was Bucky Gunts, and Ricky Gervais could not say Bucky Gunts enough.
I hope it's Bucky Gunts, because I didn't know you could say that on television. Let's face it, we're all Bucky Gunts here. And the Emmy goes to Bucky Gunts!
And it became a recurring joke throughout the night that this poor guy's name is Bucky Gunts, which is really unfortunate, right?
What did you think about the announcer? Trying to do comedy.
Paul Tompkins? Dislike that very much.
Every time somebody won or walked up to the stage, he was trying to do comedy. And most of the time, it wasn't even his fault. It was just horribly written.
And the music drowned him out as well. Yeah, sometimes I couldn't even hear him.
It was very tough to make it. It was the great Paul Tompkins, who's a hilarious comedian. He's a Daily Show correspondent. Yeah, I thought that was kind of hit or miss. I applaud that they were trying to do something different with it, though, was to put a little comedy in.
I do, too. And I also thought that they asked questions of the nominees. I thought that was... turned out poorly.
Sometimes it was funny.
But I liked the idea that they were trying something different, but it
trying
didn't
something
work.
Different, exactly.
So you're going to miss.
Psycho Mike, I brought in this clip just for you. I never in a million years imagined that this particular movie would get a shout-out during the Emmys last night. But here's Stephen Colbert. He's up for Best Show, and he's introducing the cast that puts his show together on Comedy Central.
The essence of the Colbert Report is teamwork. It's got to be to get up 161 shows a year. And these are the people who do it. The greatest staff in the world. These people think together. They move together. They act as if they're one living creature. Or they soon will, once I make them a human centipede.
Come on!
Hold still!
Pulls out a pair of scissors.
I thought you had like a giant knife covered with blood.
Oh, human centipede gets a shout out on the Emmys. A couple more clips from the show last night. Going back to Jimmy Fallon, he did a segment where he did three musical tributes in a row to shows that left the air this year.
Hey, Bean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but does he sing?
He does sing. He actually does. He enjoys that. Yes, very much. The first one, it was quick change artist. He did all three back to back with completely different costumes and setups. But the first one, here's a little bit of him as Elton John saying goodbye to the TV show 24.
Goodbye 24. No one ever watched you on TV. I missed one episode. Had to buy the DVD.
Very, very funny. Then he switched clothes and he became the Boys to Men guys doing a tribute to Law and Order. And then his final one is he was Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day saying goodbye to Lost.
Another show is gone because Lost is a virtue. Locke was the smoke monster and Jacob was some dude. Goodbye to Kate and Sawyer, Hurley, Ben and Jack. He grew a crazy beard and said... we have to go back. The island, it was mythical, but in the end they died. I didn't understand it, but I tried.
Amen, Jimmy Fallon. Amen. Ralph will have all the winners for you from last night's Emmy Awards. Those are some highlights for you here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. By the way, one thing I forgot to mention, Ralph, and I'm sure you laughed out loud as I did, is when Ricky Gervais was doing his hilarious bit on the Emmys last night where he sent beers out to everybody in the audience.
Yep.
Did you see, exactly what I was going to say. Did you see the guy try to hand one to recovering alcoholic Matthew Perry?
Yeah. I did not see that.
Apparently, it turns out they were non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah. Well, I heard that somebody made a reference to it. At least one of them was. I don't know if they all were, but God, that was funny when they tried to give him a beer, though.
Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood said, thanks, by the way, for the non-alcoholic beer.
I heard that. I didn't know if it was a joke or not.
No, apparently the Emmys did not want actual liquor served at their event.
Wow.
So it was just comedy prop beer. It wasn't real beer, which is unacceptable. And I could see why Ricky would be upset.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. It's a long night to not drink at all, right?
Especially when you have hosted the Golden Globes. And as he said, everyone is hammered about halfway through the
process. And he drinks through the whole thing, too.
He drinks on every time he's on stage, even his own stand-up. He drinks a big can of Foster's. So, yeah, he's a good man.
All right. With the Showbiz Beat now, here's Bucky Gunts.
Speaking of the Emmys, I don't know if you guys remember or not, certain advertisement that was taken out in what they call the trades in Hollywood, the Hollywood Reporter, Daily Variety. These are the magazines
of the showbiz industry, and they're read by the industry folks. And when Modern Family was nominated for Emmy for Outstanding Comedy, they released the following ad. I have it here in my hand. It says, if Modern Family wins the Emmy for Outstanding Comedy, Sofia Vergara will run naked down Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
For your Emmy consideration, what's Modern Family.
What's that little
There is a
print.
Little disclaimer with an asterisk next to it that says, cast member may change without notice.
No!
Which you don't want to see. But the original promise was Sofia Vergara, if it wins, see, I'm doing this right now. I'm pointing,
you
at,
are
the,
pointing
at the ad.
At the ad.
She would run naked down Sunset Boulevard. Well, guess what happened last night at the Emmys?
What?
Modern Family won for Best Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series.
So she owes us.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying she owes us.
I'm with you on that.
And I have heard nothing, not a peep, from the Modern Family camp. By the way, I went there one summer with my family.
Did you? Modern Family camp?
Yeah, it was delicious.
She was joking about it in the post-show interviews, claiming that, and she's just trying to get out of it, claiming that she'd already done it, that she, from the time she won the, they won the award to the time she did the interview, she'd already gone down to Sunset Boulevard, run, put her dress back on, and come back to the party. So
yeah.
She's
not
trying to sweep that under the rug.
Not buying it, not Sofia buying Vergara. It.
You liar!
So, I think if you'd like to stay in our country and enjoy our hospitality, and enjoy the fruits of the labor, taking the mouth out of another American actress's, food out of American Mac, you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Then I think you should live up to your promises. Because otherwise, I'm just saying INS. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah!
You sure your papers are in order? You sure everything, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed?
We'll send you to Arizona.
That's
don't
right.
Think we won't.
Don't think we won't. That fence isn't finished yet. We can push you right over and just close it up behind you. Just hammer up some nails and boards behind you.
But don't we lose more than she
yes,
does
we do.
If we kick her out of the country?
You're not helping
we're
with
sorry.
The threat. You don't
apply
have to
sorry.
Mean
pressure,
it.
That's all.
We're just trying to scare the bejesus out of her.
Because she lied.
She did lie.
And we don't true. Cotton to that here in the States. We're an honest country. We always tell the truth.
Everyone
just ask
here tells
any of
the
our
truth.
Politicians.
That's correct.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Oh, come on. All right, speaking of the Emmys, real quick recap of what the big winners were last night. As I mentioned, Modern Family won for Best Comedy Series. Mad Men won for Best Drama Series. Last night on Mad Men, though, you guys didn't see it yet.
No.
But a female cast member gets way naked on Mad Men last night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not telling you who. They don't show much nudity on that program because it's not the right kind of cable, right?
No, they don't.
Okay.
They don't go full Monty, but still. She was naked.
Is she a slave woman?
Nope. You're thinking Aunt Jemima, Kevin. The Pacific won for Best Miniseries. Jim Parsons won for Big Bang Theory for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. Best Actor in a Drama was Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad. Best Actor in a Miniseries or Movie was Al Pacino. Edie Falco won for Best Actress in a Comedy Series. Nurse Jackie. Oh, that Nurse Jackie.
Wow.
That makes me bust a gut when she's doing all those illegal drugs, and she's cheating on her husband, and her little daughter has all kinds of mental health issues. Oh, I thought I'd never stop laughing. Oh, Edie Falco.
Thank you.
I got you.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did Kevin come up with that, or was that Mike?
No, that was Mike.
Did you pull something?
Okay, it was Mike.
Did you pull a muscle reaching for that one?
I did, actually. Yeah. I'm a little sore.
Sorry.
Kira Sedgwick won for Best Actress in a Drama with The Closer. Eric Stone Street from Modern Family won for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series. Aaron Paul for his role in Breaking Bad won him Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. Jane Lynch, Best Supporting Actress in a Drama for Glee and Best Supporting Actress, I'm sorry, Comedy. And Best Supporting Actress in a Drama was Archie Punjabi.
Is she a slave woman?
Nope. She is not. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Peter Facinelli, who's also on Nurse Jackie.
That comedy?
That hilarious Nurse Jackie. He is also part of the Twilight series. And he was just announced this week in Rolling Stone magazine. He got the number one spot on the magazine's list of worst movie vampires.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, apparently they think he's less than believable as Carlisle from the Twilight series.
Lisa, you watch those movies. How is he?
Well, I mean, he's exactly as they describe in the book.
Which is
he's
the worst
not
vampire
a bad
movie
vampire.
History.
He saves people. He's Ooh. Overcome his desire to drink blood and now actually saves people.
That does make you a crappy vampire, then, if you're not drinking blood.
It makes him a crappy
you're
vampire.
You're not a good vampire. You're not supposed to take care of people.
The rest of the list of worst movie vampires, Willem Dafoe in Shadow of the Vampire, Ian Somerhalder in The Vampire Diaries, Alexander Sarsgaard, as we mentioned, in True Blood, and Nicolas Cage for his 1989 film Vampire's Kiss. Best movie vampire, according to Rolling Stone magazine? The legendary Bela Lugosi for his role as Dracula in the original Dracula movie. Only fair.
He's iconic. He certainly kind of invented set the standard.
The franchise of vampires. Britney Spears has her bikini body back.
Sure does.
And according to friends, she has no plans on keeping it to herself. She is negotiating a deal as we speak for a steamy, sexy photo shoot.
Is she a slave woman?
Claims her camp. Nope. And no word on which magazine yet, but apparently she will be stripping down and posing with her newly toned physique to show everyone that she's back and better than ever.
All right.
Good for her. Look, I like it when they dollar up. I like her with the makeup and the hair and the whatnot. It's just when she's walking around barefoot through
a grocery store.
Human feces and with her scalp falling off and stuff. I can't go for that.
But she has stayed remarkably clean for a number of years now.
It's a great clip, right?
Yeah. Thanks for all your help.
Wow. I can't take credit for that.
No, you can't. The Pacific won a lot of Emmys last night at the Emmys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
HBO That's where they went up. Wildly popular. Bruce McKenna, who wrote or co-wrote 7 of the 10 episodes of that miniseries, has announced he is writing a new film for Warner Brothers based on the Battle of Midway, legendary naval battle in World War II. The Americans kick some booty. Apparently it's going to be in 3D, and it's going to be a big blockbuster World War II epic. I don't know how that will do in the theaters. If anyone's interested in World War II epics.
I'd like to see a war in 3D. That seems like that would be a good use of that technology.
I agree.
I sure enjoyed Clint Eastwood's Iwo Jima movies. So,
yeah,
I mean,
if
I don't know much about Midway, but if there's a lot of drama in it like those, it'd be good.
Speaking of new movies, John Cusack has just signed to play the poet Edgar Allan Poe in an upcoming movie called The Raven. Interesting premise to this film. Edgar Allan Poe died at the age of 40. In Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
They found him dead on a park bench in Baltimore. However, for 5 days before he died, no one knows where he was or what he was doing.
Really?
The film tries to fill in those gaps, fictionally, by telling you the story of Edgar Allan Poe and what happened in those 5 days. And apparently he teams up with a detective to help hunt down a serial killer who was killing people in the methods that Poe put into his works of fiction.
Neat.
So a serial killer is stealing all the ideas from Poe's books and is actually killing people in those methods.
And then he ends up...
Poe helps the cops track him down, and then we see what happens at the end and why he ends up dead at the age of 40 on a park bench.
Sounds interesting.
Very interesting film. John Cusack has been tapped to play Edgar Allan Poe.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. I think it's good casting. And lastly, you know I love the collectibles. You know I'm a collector.
Yep.
And I'm always fascinated by these stories when I see them in the newspaper. A John Lennon collectible just sold at auction on Saturday for $14,740. It was John's toilet.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Who wants his toilet?
The porcelain body was taken out of a home in Tittenhurst Park.
That's the reason you did the story, isn't it?
Which is in Berkshire, England. It was taken out of his home in 1969 and then replaced with a new one. The builder kept John's old toilet for 40 years in his shed.
How do we know?
Because he was the plumber who did the work.
How do we know it was John? He could be selling 200 of those.
Well, he died.
Oh.
The plumber did, and then when they were going through his estate, they recognized what they had, and they put the toilet up for sale, and it sold this weekend for over $14,000, Lennon's toilet. $14,740 for John Lennon's old toilet.
There's something
If I went to somebody's house and they said, hey, this is John Lennon's toilet, I would not be impressed. I would think the guy got
Wouldn't you
taken
like
for
to
a ride.
Poop where a beetle pooped?
No.
Oh, I'm sitting and pooping just where a beetle pooped. Oh, this is Eleanor Rigby, yeah, I would say.
Oh.
Oh, that's what I would say.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Lewis Black is 62.
Sure.
Yeah. Not what I was expecting at all. Yeah! I mean, it'd be some audio to go along with that. Foolish me. Michael Chiklis is 47. DJ Paul Oakenfold is 47 as well. Cameron Diaz is 38 years old.
Is she a slave woman?
No, she's not. She's an actress. And TV personality Lisa Ling is 37.
Hey!
All right.
Kevin was talking about Mrs. Butterworth, by the way, when he asked if she was a slave woman. I don't know why he thinks an old
This is Butterworth?
British woman that pours syrup out of her head is a slave woman, but what are you going to do? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We also have Jill Wagner.
Oh, my God!
The only host that matters of Wipeout.
She's so entertaining on that show.
And she's really funny.
Announced earlier this morning our Breakfast with Linkin Park. We will have your tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, Cat Corbett's coming up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Why leave when you get the new one from Linkin Park, The Catalyst? Also, Jimmy Eat World, Nirvana, MGMT, 3 Days Grace, and more next after this on K-Rock.